Peter B. Collins show that's coming up after the CBS News. This show has been brought to you by Eco Design Resources of Santa Cruz, located just off the downtown mall, offering free parking. Eco Design Resources in Santa Cruz specializes in healthy and sustainable products for your home, including earth-friendly paints, plaster, flooring, countertops, as well as accessories.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Police say 24-year-old Matthew Murray had been thrown out of the missionary training school in suburban Denver, where the first shootings happened yesterday. Then 12 hours later, to the west in Colorado Springs, New Life Church was attacked. This woman's brother was wounded.
What he would really want everyone to know at this point is that no matter what you go through, you can get through, and he's going to get through.
Police characterized a hatred against Christians as the motive for the shootings. Murray was killed by a volunteer security guard at the mega church. By then, four people in all were dead. Five had been injured, one critically. The Republican race for the presidential nomination has changed big time. It's a new CBS News New York Times poll. CBS News poll director Kathleen Frankovic says the force to be reckoned with now is a former Arkansas governor.
22% of them choose Rudy Giuliani, but 21% say that Mike Huckabee is their choice. Huckabee's 21% is an increase from 4 percentage points just 2 months ago.
With the caucuses here in Iowa just over 3 weeks away, a lot of volatility remains, says Andrew Kohut of the Pew Research Center. The leaders in one state aren't necessarily the front runners elsewhere.
In the early primary states, you don't get similar patterns in preferences.
And the prominent issues are different within each party race.
And immigration is as big an issue as any in Iowa. Among Republicans, among Democrats, they're sure not talking about it very much.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Des Moines.
Former Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick got 23 months in prison today for the dogfighting ring on his Virginia property.
He now knows that when he returns to us, that he cannot in any way do anything that would injure an animal or that would otherwise show that he is not a good member of society.
Vick's lawyer is Billy Martin. It's conceivable Michael Vick could be back on the football field in the 09 season. The founder of Balco, the lab at the center of the pro-athlete steroid scandal, says he will name names. Victor Conti says he's ready to meet with the World Anti-Doping Agency chairman to provide detailed info, past and present Olympic caliber athletes, coaches, and suppliers. This as the baseball scandal surrounding Barry Bonds and others comes to a head. Harvard University has announced a major new financial aid package designed to make their glittery diploma available to a wider range of people. William Fitzsimmons is the Dean of Admissions and Financial Aid.
We can now say that for over 90% of the American population, that they will only have to pay 10% or less on average of their incomes.
In this new deal, the middle-class Harvard style goes to $180,000 a year. Harvard's list price, tuition, room, and board, by the way, is $45,620 per year. On Wall Street, the Dow up 101 points. NASDAQ gained 13 today, almost 13. Oil, $87.86 a barrel, down 42 cents. This is CBS News.
Bose Quiet Comfort Acoustic Noise Canceling Headphones are no ordinary headphones. They reduce the noise you hear around you and let you hear your music more clearly. So the next time you're on an airplane, at the office, or just about anywhere, enjoy your music undisturbed with Bose Quiet Comfort Acoustic Noise Canceling Headphones. Call 800-560-2073 to try them for 30 days risk-free. You can attach your Quiet Comfort headphones to your portable MP3 or DVD player, or use them without an audio source just to enjoy some peace. Order yours now at 800-560-2073. Purchase QC headphones by January 31st, and you'll receive $50 towards select Bose products purchased at the same time. Conditions and limitations apply. Call for details. Choose QC3 headphones for an on-ear fit or QC2 headphones for an around-ear fit. They make a great gift. So order today at 800-560-2073. That's 1-800-560-2073.
Argentina's new president is a woman, but she's no newcomer to the presidential palace.
The First Lady of Argentina took the presidential oath today.
Del cargo de Presidenta de la República Argentina.
Presidenta Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner succeeds her husband Néstor Kirchner in the Casa Rosada. She's the first woman elected to hold that office in Argentina and the second South American woman to become president in as many years. She joins Michelle Bachelet of Chile as a new generation of female leaders in South America. Brian Burns for CBS News, Buenos Aires.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but it won't help you hold up the store. In Grand Junction, Colorado, police say a teenager armed with a stick and a rock tried to hold up a small food store. The clerk refused to hand over the money. The kid threw the rock, missed, came back with the stick, broke some things, but left empty-handed. Well, except for the stick. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Get the good stuff!
Get a grip on the perfect holiday gift with NAPA's Vice Grip 10-inch Groove Lock Pliers. Quick, precise adjustments let you work fast and grab hold of fasteners, nuts, and bolts of all shapes and sizes. This slide button adjusts up to 50% faster, and the anti-pinch design prevents handles from pinching fingers. Pick up your 10-inch Groove Lock Pliers at NAPA for just $17.99. Plus, save an additional $10 with mail-in rebate. NAPA. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. It's one small step for man.
We interrupt this report for an important news bulletin. You can now purchase original Dell ink and toner at Staples. Now, back to that other thing.
Finally, some news to get excited about. Staples is the only store to carry every original Dell ink cartridge, plus a wide selection of Dell computers, printers, monitors, and toner, too. Or visit us at staples.com for the same great selection. Staples, that was easy.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. Otherwise, I'd just be talking at myself, you know? We've got a lot to talk about this hour. A little bit later, Bruce Fine returns to our program. He served in the Reagan administration of the FCC and the Justice Department. He's an outspoken supporter of constitutional rule in this country, and he supports contempt citations for White House employees Bolton and former employee Myers. You're welcome to call the program whenever the urge strikes you. We have lines open and available toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And over there in the intelligence community, have they been taking care of business? Stunning reversal on the intel on Iran just a week ago, and now the CIA is defending a decision made to destroy some videotapes of aggressive interrogations of some key suspects. We get reaction from Michael Scheuer. He served at the CIA. He ran the Bin Laden desk, named after his son Alec. And he also, of course, has written several books, one called Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror, and a powerful book called Through Our Enemy's Eyes, Osama Bin Laden, Radical Islam, and the Future of America. I understand he's working on a new book that should be out in the new year called Marching Towards Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. Michael Scheuer, welcome back to our program.
Thank you very kindly for having me, sir.
Well, it's always nice to talk with you, sir. And you are the still one of the most polite people ever to come out of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Well, thank you.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the intel reversal, because this is remarkable in many different ways. But first of all, can you cite a precedent where the CIA and this is now the overarching intelligence community, not just your agency, your former agency, contributed to this analysis and change? But have you ever seen a situation where we've seen such a dramatic reversal in intelligence findings regarding a very critical counterpoint of the United States?
I have never seen it in over the course of my career, at least since the early 1980s, Peter. It's really an extraordinary thing, but I think it shows to some extent the intelligence community getting back on its feet again. This is clearly something that this administration did not want to hear, just as the NIE that came out during the summer that said al-Qaeda had not been beaten but rather was stronger than before. Neither one of those things were welcomed by the Bush administration, and I think it goes to show that the community is much more hard-nosed than it was under Mr. Tenet.
So who do you credit for this? Is this truly, as the president claims, the reform of the intelligence community that has led to this? Or is this Mike McConnell or Mike Hayden saying, wait a minute, we were used as fall guys for the bad intel on Iraq. We will not permit ourselves to be used in that manner for a misguided assault on Iran.
I think it's a combination of both. I don't think the reform itself of the intelligence community has helped very much, but I think General Hayden in particular has been a terrific addition to the CIA, and someone who is not there to tell the president what he wants to hear, but rather to tell the president the truth. I also suspect, and it's just my suspicion, Peter, but this is such a dramatic reversal that they must have acquired a new channel of intelligence that was very, very compelling in terms of undoing what everyone thought the Iranians were up to.
Now, you probably know more than I do, and to the extent you can tell us, is it true that there are some top Iranian military officers who have, escaped and told what they knew? Is this something that came out of documents, and were you at first concerned that this might be disinformation?
No, I really can't tell you. I'm out of the business now. But such a drastic change in analytic lines certainly suggests a new addition of information. And I think the most troubling thing is that the administration knew this was coming. An estimate of this sort takes 6 or 8 months to prepare. And right until the day it came out, they kept talking about the insanity of Iran somehow being a threat to the United States.
Well, what do you make of what Seymour Hersh told CNN last week, which is that he believes that this information has been in circulation for almost a year? He used a phrase that Dick Cheney had, his boot on the throat or shoe, foot on the throat, basically trying to prevent this from coming out. And we understand that there was some sort of a heated exchange, perhaps a shouting match, at the White House in mid-November before this information was approved for release.
Sir, all I can say to that is it would not be unusual for an estimate of this importance to take a year to be put together. I think it's perfectly possible that that part of it is true. I know nothing about Mr. Cheney's histrionics. They wouldn't surprise me, but I really don't know anything about them.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you make of the president's comments at a news conference that he only learned about this indirectly in August? They told him that there was new information, and he wants us to believe that he left it at that and waited for it to percolate up through the system, and says he wasn't briefed on it until about a week before it was released.
I always tend to give the President of the United States the doubt, the benefit of the doubt, whichever party is in. But just from knowing on the different areas that I worked on, it would be very unusual for anyone willing to risk their career on telling the President something this important a week before it was published. I find that absolutely unique in my experience, sir.
Well, and in particular because of the scripted comments in public of the president and the vice president, the reference to World War III, that was not accidental on Bush's part. It was delivered off the cuff at a news conference, but I have a hard time believing it wasn't something that was rehearsed. And these comments came as this information was going through its final analysis. And, wouldn't you believe that somebody at the agency or elsewhere in the national security establishment made a call to the White House and said, hey, tell those guys that they're on really thin ice with these comments?
I think that probably happened all along, sir, as the national intelligence estimate on Iran was developed. Because if you're going to come up with a paper that changes the course of U.S. policy or the basis for U.S. policy, again, you don't want to blindside the president with it. It's just very difficult for me to believe the executive branch wasn't very, very well aware of what was coming down the road. And I think, you know, generally speaking, I think the Americans, American people should be very happy that the intelligence community stood up and said this. Because I think if Mr. Tenet had stood up before the Iraq war and said that the intelligence wasn't that good, we probably wouldn't have had that war either.
Well, let me just offer a friendly amendment. I am delighted that the agencies have provided this information. I am stunned that the White House let it be published. And for me, this eases us back from the brinksmanship that Bush and Cheney have been relying on to deal with Iran. That said, I don't think Iran is a friendly nation. I don't see them as toothless or harmless. But it has to be measured in terms of how we respond, measured to the actual level of threat posed at this time. And the comments, the rhetoric, beating of the war drum simply didn't match what we know of the situation.
No, and it certainly doesn't now, Peter. I truly think this government wanted war with the Iranians just as they wanted war with Iraq. I think if there was more time left in this administration, you'd probably see some of the senior people in the intelligence community being punished for this. But it's kind of at the end of the day. And they're probably afraid to move against them. But clearly, Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney preferred to have a war with Iran than simply containing Iran.
Mm-hmm. And what was your level of surprise, Michael Scheuer, when you first heard about this dramatic revision of our intelligence estimates about Iran?
Well, as a former intelligence officer, I was very pleased, sir, because it, to me, like the NIE over the summer about al-Qaeda, both of them showed the intelligence community with a certain amount of independence, willing to stand up and say to the president and to say to his vice president and his coterie that you go to war if you want, but the intelligence information isn't there to support it.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this earlier. I don't think you quite responded. Did you have any suspicion that this was disinformation that cleverly was disseminated by Tehran?
I suspect that's not the case, sir. There's always that chance. You never say never. But this is a careful organization under General Hayden and under Admiral McConnell. They're pretty precise in what they say, and they vet the information very thoroughly. I think there's a very little chance that this is disinformation.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of my concerns, and I have to be really candid, Michael Scheuer, that this is just from being treated the way we have by the Bush administration, but because they embraced this report, I am suspicious that there is some sort of a trap. There is a second shoe to fall. Help me out here. What are your concerns?
Well, it seems to me that to some extent, like in ancient Rome, Washington these days kind of creates its own reality. And although we now have an intelligence report that says that there is not a threat in the nuclear dimension from Iran in the near term, Mr. Cheney and Mr. Bush clearly dislike the Iranians very much, and they're being pushed very hard by the Israelis because the Israelis are threatened by Iran while we are not.
Mm-hmm.
So another shoe could well fall, but right now they're going to have to find another excuse because the intelligence doesn't wash.
We're going to take a break and return with Michael Scheuer. We'll talk about the videotape issue, videotapes of intensive interrogations that were destroyed by the Central Intelligence Agency. If you have a question or comment, you can call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. Drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Michael Scheuer is our guest. He served at the Central Intelligence Agency. He's published a number of books. And, Michael, when is your new book due out?
February 5th is the date, Mr. Collins.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that, and as soon as I get a copy and actually read it, I'll invite you on the program. Love to have another conversation with you then.
Well, you're very kind, sir. I appreciate it.
Let's talk now about these videotapes of interrogations that were conducted against high-value detainees, as they are described. And we now know that some of those tapes have been destroyed. And at the agency, Jose Rodriguez is identified as the man who made the decision. When you worked there, did you have any contact with Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes, sir. I didn't know him very well, but I knew him well, and I worked for him for a while. I always regarded him as a very good man, a man really very concerned with protecting the people that worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think insofar as these tapes are concerned, just from my personal viewpoint, he did exactly the right thing.
Now, why is that?
Well, they had various information on them. There's three facets here, Mr. Collins. First, it has the information that was given to us by the people who were interrogated. We don't want the enemy to know what was told to us.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it had the voices and faces of CIA officers on those tapes whose ability to operate around the world and defend America depends on their anonymity. And third, the tactics that were used in the interrogation, although approved by the Department of Justice and the White House, were out of the ordinary. And as you can see from the furor over those tapes, both parties are very, very willing to hang agency officers for conducting the business of the United States according to the direction of the president.
Now, Michael Scheuer, with all due respect, I do understand the reasons you've advanced, but I think there are ways to address them. And I think that destroying these tapes was very Nixonian. And we know that Richard Nixon regretted for the rest of his life that he hadn't destroyed the Watergate tape recordings. But that still doesn't make it legal. And
I think the legal part of the question, Mr. Collins, comes from the 2003 episode. Where the prosecutors asked if there were any, and they were told there weren't. And that was not Mr. Rodriguez. That was James Pavitt, who was the deputy director for operations at that time. So I think there's two different questions here, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, but it does appear that the tapes were being sought at the time the decision was made to destroy them, and even a Bush loyalist like Harriet Myers, we understand, is on record as opposing the destruction of these tapes.
Well, Ms. Myers, as typical for the White House under either administration, was quoted as saying she advised people not to destroy them. She didn't order them not to. And as far as I'm concerned, the process of conducting covert action in protection of America and American citizens has become a football for the politician. And for the officers who conduct it, we now have almost every officer who's involved in covert action taking out extra legal insurance, because they're very sure someday that because they did what the government asked them to do, they will be hung out to dry, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, all that is understandable, and I have empathy for the career officers who followed orders from political figures, including the folks in the Justice Department who were there to liberalize the definition of torture so that we could play a game and say that we don't torture. But bottom line, Michael Scheuer, I believe that the law may have been violated here, primarily because the 9/11 Commission and other court proceedings had made specific requests for interrogation tapes on identified suspects. So this was not just a situation where they said, let's get rid of these tapes before somebody asks for them and puts us in a compromising position. They were already compromised, and they chose to destroy them and face this music rather than address the issues in what I would consider to be a more responsible way.
Well, Mr. Collins, we may have to just agree to disagree on that. I don't think there is a responsible way to do this, simply because the politicians in both parties are not willing to defend the people they assign duties to. I have to say that I when I worked at the agency, I always tried to obey the law. But in this specific case, if I had been in Mr. Rodriguez's place, I would have ordered those tapes to be destroyed also,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Whether it was legal or not legal. And I'm not, I can't say in this case whether it was or not.
Well,
we're in such a position now with our foreign policy,
mm-hmm.
that witch hunts are becoming very popular.
Understood, and I respect your position and respectfully disagree, and I would only say that if they were really looking for a way around this, they never should have run the videotape recorder to begin with.
I think that's probably right, sir. My own guess is that those tapes were put together to show that agency officers never exceeded the guidelines that were provided by the White House Counsel and the, mm-hmm. Department of Justice.
All right, our time is up here, Michael Scheuer. Thank you, sir, for joining me today. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll reconvene next year.
I look forward to that, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, very good. We'll continue in a moment with Bruce Fine on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Radio Shack. With their mix of products, accessories, and helpful advice, Radio Shack says you don't just buy stuff, you do stuff. I'm Charles Osgood. A gold medal presented to the Marquis de Lafayette by the adopted daughter of George Washington is going to be auctioned off tomorrow at Sotheby's in New York City. The decision to sell it now was made by Arnaud de Soie.
I am the seventh great-grandson of General Lafayette.
The story, after this, for Radio Shack. Radio Shack is bringing you the best gift card ever this holiday season. It makes gift-giving more convenient for you, and it makes sure whoever you give it to can get their own amazing gift. The possibilities are endless. Digital cameras can turn them into movie directors. GPS devices can help them to find their way anywhere. So get on over to Radio Shack and buy the best gift card ever. And when these amazing things start happening, just remember it all began at Radio Shack, where you don't just buy stuff, you do stuff. The Bose Quiet Comfort acoustic noise-canceling headphones fade background distractions so that you can hear your music more clearly. And they're so comfortable, you may forget you're wearing them. Call 800-611-1468 to try them for 30 days risk-free. You purchase QC headphones by January 31st, and you receive $50 towards select Bose products purchased at the same time. Conditions and limitations do apply. Choose QC3 headphones for an on-ear fit or QC2 headphones for an around-ear fit. Call for details. They make a great gift. Call 800-611-1468. Historian Douglas Brinkley, like most historians, is captivated by this relic known as the Washington Lafayette Cincinnati Medal and the prospect of its sale tomorrow.
Remember that we couldn't have had our independence in the United States if we didn't have the support of the French. And Lafayette sort of emerged from the American Revolutions as the great hero of not just France, but of America.
The gold medal shows an eagle surrounded by a wreath.
It contains an inscription. On one side it says, he left everything for his country.
David Redden is vice chairman of Sotheby's. The medal represents Washington's membership in an organization of Continental Army officers named for the Roman general Cincinnatus, known for refusing to hold on to power after winning a war.
That's exactly the way Washington felt the true patriot had to behave.
The medal is expected to fetch somewhere between $4 million and $10 million at the auction tomorrow. Lafayette's descendants say it's not just for the money that they're selling it.
We thought that if it were to come back to America, it would be seen and celebrated by maybe so many people.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Bruce Fine returns to our program today. He and I both embrace the Constitution above all.
Shipping all our money out the door.
Bruce Fine returns to our program today. He served as counsel at the Federal Communications Commission during the Reagan years, and he was on the impeach Clinton team in the late 1990s. And these days, he is fighting hard to restore constitutional rule in the United States of America. Bruce, welcome back to our program.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Nice to talk with you again. And before we get down to business, I just want to recommend to people that they visit the website AmericanFreedomAgenda.org. You and I have discussed this before, but this is a powerful effort to get presidential candidates to commit to restoring constitutional rule in this country. And I think it's a very important process, and it's something that's been mirrored on the left or the Democratic side. But I give you and Bob Barr and others credit for bringing these issues forward and not mincing words about it, Bruce Fine.
No, we shouldn't mince words about the Constitution. It was a document crafted by persons versed in human nature and history. It's proven a pearl for over two centuries, and we'd be quite foolish to squander it with the likes of President George Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney, who wouldn't know a Constitution from, you know, a parchment picked up off of a trash can.
Right. You're probably familiar with the quote. I've never seen it actually confirmed, but it is alleged that at one point in an Oval Office meeting, George W. Bush said, and I'll quote this quote because it could violate the FCC rules, but as a quote, it won't. He said, don't tell me about the Constitution. It's just a goddamn piece of paper.
I don't even know whether he knows it's a piece of paper. I've also heard that during the first presidential campaign, he acknowledged he'd never read the document. After all, he's also said to his biographer that he doesn't learn by reading, only by doing. So he probably doesn't really understand what the Constitution is about, and he certainly never said anything to indicate he knows what the Founding Fathers understood by checks and balances and important review of presidential action in time of conflict to prevent abuses of the type we've experienced since 9/11.
In a couple of minutes, I want to talk about a very powerful op-ed piece that was published in the San Francisco Chronicle under your byline today relating to the battle between Congress and the White House over the White House claims of executive privilege in the U.S. Attorney's investigation. But first, Bruce Fine, just before you joined us, we were talking with Michael Scheuer, who worked at the CIA and has been outspoken, not always critically, but outspoken since he left the agency. And I was talking with him about the destruction of videotapes from interrogations that the CIA conducted of so-called high-value detainees. And he maintains that Mr. Rodriguez at the CIA made the right decision to destroy those tapes. And I respectfully disagree with Michael Scheuer. I think our priorities are a little different. He argued for the protection of the agents involved, the methods utilized, and also said that politically the agency has become a punching bag or a football, and that he did not want to see these kinds of tapes used to prosecute lower-level CIA officers as opposed to those who gave them the instructions to conduct these interrogations and actually videotape them. And I made the point that if they had destroyed these before anybody asked for them, it might have been a different situation. But the 9/11 Commission and several federal courts were looking for videotapes of this type and were told that they did not exist, which appears to me to be obstruction of justice. What's your take on this episode?
Well, I think there are two views. One can be the legal view about the obstruction of justice statute, which is very broad and is triggered if there's simply an outstanding inquiry by Congress. It doesn't have to have actually subpoenaed the particular documents here. And it's certainly no excuse that a subordinate committed the obstruction to exonerate their superiors. After all, the doctrine of command responsibility is one deeply enshrined in the United States Constitution. James Madison, the first Congress, explained presidents would be impeached for failing to superintend or check the excesses of their subordinates. Now, with regard to the idea that as long as the destruction was before there was an official inquiry, and that might have been harmless, I would respectfully disagree. Government by the consent of the people. Government in the sunshine is the rule, not the exception, precisely because darkness invites abuses, including torture, illegalities. what would be the justification of destroying the tape? If you wanted to protect the actual identities of the individuals, you could use a process that would blur their images so someone looking could understand what interrogation practices, including torture, might have been afoot, but not, if they were searching for retaliation by violence, know who that individual was.
Well, and allow me to interject.
Oversight, if I could continue.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only way, Peter, you're going to get oversight is to have public examination. We should know what our CIA officials are doing, including violating the law. Not because it's impossible that public information might give some clue to the enemy that we're not committing vivisection or the rack and screw, so maybe they won't be so frightened about being captured, but because there's certain risks we take in a democracy. There's certain risks that are inherent in self-government that requires openness, just in the same sense that we don't permit Gestapo in every home to try to prevent crime to a level of zero. Mm-hmm. We also, in a democracy, require certain publicity because the danger of wrongdoing that history has corroborated is vastly greater than the danger that the Al-Qaeda may know that, we're not going to take a guillotine and chop their head off.
Mm-hmm. I understand that, and I tend to agree with you. The point I was about to make is that preservation of the tapes did not necessarily presume that they would ever be released in any public forum or to the public at large.
Of course not.
And we've seen
that the CIA has millions of documents that contain the names of CIA operatives. They're all classified, as you indicated, and only very few, if any, ever see the light of day. So it's not required to destroy a document in order to protect the kind of security that you've described.
Mm-hmm. And likewise, there's one, Gerald Posner, who he's a great investigative reporter. He's written extensive books about the Kennedy assassination and other issues like that. I saw an item posted on the Internet over the weekend where he was arguing that this was most likely to protect the Saudis and to some extent the Pakistanis, because one of the tapes, one of the series of tapes in question, related to the interrogation of Al-Zubaydah. And it is alleged that he spilled the beans on complicity by Saudi Arabia and Pakistan in support for Al-Qaeda. And if that is true, that certainly gives a reason for the Bush administration and the agency to be very sensitive about this. At the same time, the Bush administration has used the state secret privilege to great excess, but to considerable effect, and has managed to thwart the courts on many fronts as it has attempted to deal with issues related to spying on American citizens and other efforts that are called the war on terror.
That's true, but the state secrets privilege is a privilege that's acknowledged and is endorsed by the Congress of the United States. The Congress can alter, change, abolish the state secrets privilege at any time. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the op-ed in the San Francisco Chronicle today, because although it's not strictly speaking state secrets, it's the same, it's a sister privilege, executive privilege, confidentiality, that's at issue in investigating the firing of the United States attorneys. I can guarantee you that if there's no movement to hold in contempt Josh Bolton, Harriet Myers for not appearing in the U.S. attorney's investigation, the Bush administration isn't going to permit anybody to come testify about the destruction of these videotapes. They'll just say, sorry, executive privilege, state secrets, it's sensitive, you can't see any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And if Congress acquiesces, which is what they've done in the past, that's the end of oversight. You cannot have free society when you have government in secrecy. Secrecy invites invariably in every administration violations of law and torture. And the preposterous claim that these tapes were destroyed because they no longer had intelligence value is utterly ridiculous. These are people who work in an agency that keeps documents around and names around for decades, thinking, well, maybe it might be that piece in the jigsaw puzzle that we don't know about, but we'll know about in 20 years, 30 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they covering up? And the clear inference is torture. And we have a right to know, not only because it would risk our own soldiers, people being captured, being tortured in retaliation. But also we know that foreign intelligence agencies, foreign countries, are reluctant to cooperate with the United States in fighting terrorists if they think we're going to torture anyone who's captured. That's happened with the British in a recent occasion. These are decisions that go to the heart of our safety as a people and who we are. We have a right to know what's going on and decide for ourselves through the electoral process and our own judgments made in the public forum what policy ought to be. Policy isn't made in a democracy in the back doors by three or four people who decide what's good for the rest of us.
Bruce Spine is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a comment or question, call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about why the Democratic leaders, specifically Pelosi and Reid, have really soft-pedaled this confrontation with the White House. And let's include Senator Leahy, too, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who in August was red-faced and veins were popping and he was frothing at the mouth and just so insulted at the stone wall erected by the White House as he attempted to get the missing emails to get Myers and Bolton to testify. And he was talking tough at the time, but then when they sacked Gonzalez and brought on Judge Mukasey, the dynamics changed, and I, for one, am puzzled that the Democrats have basically thrown in the towel or at least dialed down their heat on a very important constitutional issue as well as a critical political issue.
Well, I think the answer lies in the vulnerability of the Democratic leadership to at least been complicit in many of the wrongdoing and excesses of the administration by keeping silent about information that they were given. Nancy Pelosi has explained that she early on was told about the warrantless surveillance program in violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. She said nothing. And apparently she was also informed about waterboarding and said nothing. These were statements made publicly by Ms. Pelosi, and she said in sum, well, the president told me I couldn't tell anybody else, so I had to shut my mouth, as though she was the sheep and she had to follow President George Bush, and that she did not have an independent obligation as a member of the House to report and publicly disclose crimes or wrongdoing, high crimes and misdemeanors. It would be like Richard Nixon in Watergate disclosing to members of Congress that he had erased 18 and a half minutes on one of the tapes for national security purposes and then told them all they had to shut up. They couldn't talk about it. We think that was preposterous. But that same kind of thing is ongoing at present with regard to the Democrats concealing and saying nothing about the information of wrongdoing received from the Bush administration. And I think the reason why there's the reluctance that you've described is they fear that they will be exceedingly embarrassed. Imperi delicto is the Latin phrase that the lawyers use, in equal fault, because they acquiesced when they had a right and a duty to go public with wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. The other thing that makes, in my judgment, the silence inexcusable is that there is a provision in the Constitution called the Speech or Debate Clause that protects members of Congress from any criminal prosecution or retaliation by the executive branch for things they say in committee or on the House floor. Mike Gravel, then senator from Alaska, read the Pentagon Papers classified into the congressional record, and the Supreme Court held he was absolutely shielded from any kind of investigation or retaliation for that particular legislative act.
All right, we'll pick up.
We have a situation where the members would not have been risking any kind of criminal or other sanctions by the executive branch if they did what they should have.
We'll pick up there right after a break. We're talking with Bruce Spine here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on JoeRombi.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This portion is brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. You're eating more organic, so drink organic wine. Visit their website at ecowine.com or call and order some wine today at 1-888-ECO-WINE, ECOWINE. We continue with Bruce Fine, a former official at the FCC. He was counsel there in the Reagan administration. He worked at the Justice Department, and he is co-founder of AmericanFreedomAgenda.org. I invite you to take a look at that website. We're talking about the showdown between Congress and the White House over the claim of executive privilege asserted in the investigation into the U.S. attorney's issues. And Bruce Fine, help me out here a little bit, because we have Jay Rockefeller in the Senate, the chair of Senate Intelligence, who was so frustrated by the security rules and his status with a security clearance, that after a particularly frustrating meeting, all he could do was write a handwritten letter of protest and stuff it in a drawer. So clearly the Democrats have felt limited in their ability to express a disagreement with these tactics and other strategies that were revealed to them in classified settings in their roles with the intelligence committees of the respective houses. Do those arguments get trumped by what you cited just before the break, that under speech and debate, they have freedom to do almost anything, and B, that when lawbreaking is involved, do they have a higher obligation to expose the lawbreaking than to protect the secrecy?
Well, the answer is yes. Article 6 of the Constitution requires every member of Congress, every senator and representative, to take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. That oath trumps any imposition attempted by the executive branch or otherwise of secrecy if publicity is necessary to enforce the Constitution, including the provision against high crimes and misdemeanors requiring impeachment or the requirement that the laws be faithfully executed. And I say the Gravel case was precisely the kind of situation you've described that would be created if J. Rockefeller or others, Democrats, revealed torture and other violations of the Geneva Convention in our interrogation practices or obstruction of justice. Namely, in that case, the Pentagon Papers was a classified document.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Mike Gravel had access to it. He read the classified document into the public record. Much to the dismay of the Nixon administration, you may recall the famous Pentagon Papers case that got to the U.S. Supreme Court in which the High Court held that newspapers couldn't be prevented from publishing the papers.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly there was an effort to try to enforce through criminal prosecution the classification of the Pentagon Papers, and it lost. So you've got this clear enclave for independent congressional action that's there for a purpose, precisely to prevent the executive branch from intimidating and frightening the Congress from exercising its proper oversight powers. And I can't believe that there's going to be a member of Congress who thinks even politically that they would be destroyed or undermined by revealing torture. Let's remember Abu Ghraib. Were those people who took the photos and leaked them, are they viewed as being villains for exposing what the consensus is a very horrid and unacceptable method of interrogation of detainees? No. These people are viewed as having done a public service.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly if a member disclosed waterboarding or other elements of torture, they would be applauded, just like those who disclosed Lieutenant Calley's My Lai massacre and other kinds of wrongs. It doesn't mean that we're condemning the United States of America as a country, but it means that we don't accept the idea that we can act in a lawless way in a time of conflict or otherwise.
Let's take a call. Julie in Sacramento, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air with Bruce Fine.
Good afternoon, Bruce and Peter.
Hi.
I just wanted to find out if, can Nancy be removed because of her complicity in knowing about the torture and all?
Well, the very first impeachment proceeding in the United States was against the senator, Senator Blount. The impeachment clause does apply to every member of Congress, although it's not, that's the one instance, Mr. Blount is the only instance where a member of Congress was attempted to be impeached. He ultimately was not tried because he left the Senate before there was any formal proceeding there. But Nancy Pelosi can be removed in two ways. One, the House Speaker is elected by the majority of the members of the House. And so they can withdraw, you know, her election anytime they want. The second would be, of course, an impeachment proceeding for having committed high crimes and misdemeanors by keeping silent about very, very serious violations of the Constitution.
And the third way is to defeat her at the next election.
That is correct. They obviously has served 2 years in the House of Representatives, and Cindy Sheehan, I think, is a candidate out there, but I'm not certain.
She's running as an independent, yes.
Uh-huh.
And it was Foley, right, the leader of the House who lost his underlying congressional seat and therefore was defeated as Speaker back in the late 80s.
Yes. Now, of course, there are other methods, and you quite rightly identified removal through election as a way of which you can sanction somebody. There are lesser congressional ways in which they can try to sanction individuals. You can actually expel a member with a two-thirds vote, or you could vote something like a censure. That was done with Senator Joseph McCarthy. It does not result in the necessary removal, but it can create political pressure that forces resignation. You may recall that Bob Packwood, senator from Oregon, who had gotten implicated in some sexual harassment issues and misrepresentations before an ethics committee, ultimately resigned, created an open seat, even though he couldn't be and was not actually expelled by the Senate.
Bruce Fine, thank you for joining us today. Your op-ed piece is available online at sfgate.com. And I want to direct people again to AmericanFreedomAgenda.org. Thanks for your work, Bruce. We'll talk again.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
My pleasure. That's Bruce Fine. Podcast of this hour, The Peter B. Collins Show, is available through the link on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Authorities say the same young man committed both Colorado church attacks.
Detectives gathered additional information to support the belief that he is responsible for the shootings.
A football star gets 23 months in prison.
Michael Vick, somebody who has fallen so far and so hard and so fast, is being punished for his mistake.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. His name was Matthew Murray, the 24-year-old son of a prominent neurologist. The family is described by a neighbor as very, very religious. But yesterday, he allegedly opened fire at a training center for Christian missionaries in Arvada, Colorado, and later at the new Big Life Church in Colorado Springs. Four were killed, five wounded, before Murray was killed by church security guard Gene Assam.
I came out of cover and identified myself and engaged him and took him down.
Today, police linked the two crimes.
The handgun found at the church in Colorado Springs is forensically linked to shell casings found at the crime scene in Arvada.
Arvada Police Chief Don Wick says Matthew Murray had been thrown out of the missionary school.
In 2002, Murray was associated with the Youth with a Mission organization in Arvada. We are currently investigating the reasons for his departure from the group.
One anonymous law enforcement official is quoted as saying it appeared Murray hated Christians. Now this.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it, too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Dan Shannon of PETA was outside the courthouse as NFL star Michael Vick was sentenced for running a dogfight ring.
I think it's a very powerful message to get out there, and it's going to be a strong deterrent to people getting involved in the cruel world of dogfighting.
This is Jim Crisul in Richmond, Virginia. Michael Vick will spend 23 months in jail for bankrolling a dogfighting ring. He could have been sentenced up to 5 years behind bars. Many of Vick's supporters were left in tears.
I love the guy. I've been a fan of Michael Vick for 7 years, ever since Virginia Tech. Ever since he put them on the map, I've been supporting them since then.
After Vick apologized to the court and his family, federal judge Henry Hudson told Vick, quote, "You need to apologize to the millions of young people who looked up to you." Michael Vick quietly answered, "Yes, sir."
Vick hopes to return to football, and the Atlanta Falcons don't rule out taking him back. He could be out in time for the 2009 season. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee is on a roll.
It's a very close race on the Republican side nationally, and Mike Huckabee has emerged as a candidate for first place.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says the latest CBS News New York Times poll finds 21% of Republican primary voters supporting Huckabee, right behind Rudy Giuliani at 22. Mitt Romney is third with 16%. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton still has a strong lead at 44%, but Barack Obama is gaining. He's at 27 now. John Edwards has 11. The nation's midsection is coated in ice that's blamed for at least 13 highway deaths and hundreds of thousands of power outages. Gil Broyle is a spokesman for Oklahoma Gas and Electric.
This outage situation looks as though it will be the most significant in the history of our company.
All of Oklahoma is under a state of emergency. Without power, Tulsa International Airport was forced to suspend flight operations, and Omar Villafranco of CBS television affiliate KOTV reports the recovery will be prolonged.
The runways are fine out there, and the power is back on. Now they just have to get the planes from the different carriers back here since they were all rerouted away. Now that the power is back up, they're going to have to get planes here and be able to fill them up and get people to their connecting flight.
People sentenced for selling crack cocaine often get much longer sentences than people involved with powder cocaine. Today, in a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court addressed that disparity, giving federal judges broad leeway to impose shorter prison terms for crack. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Bose Quiet Comfort Acoustic Noise Canceling Headphones are no ordinary headphones. They reduce the noise you hear around you and let you hear your music more clearly. So the next time you're on an airplane, at the office, or just about anywhere, enjoy your music undisturbed with Bose Quiet Comfort Acoustic Noise Canceling Headphones. Call 800-560-2073 to try them for 30 days risk-free. You can attach your Quiet Comfort headphones to your portable MP3 or DVD player, or use them without an audio source just to enjoy some peace. Order yours now at 800-560-2073. Purchase QC headphones by January 31st, and you'll receive $50 towards select Bose products purchased at the same time. Conditions and limitations apply. Call for details. Choose QC3 headphones for an on-ear fit or QC2 headphones for an around-ear fit. They make a great gift. So order today at 800-560-2073. That's 1-800-560-2073.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Later this hour, my colleague, journalist and radio talk show host Peter Laufer will return to our program. We're going to talk about the unusual prosecution, and the word persecution is not inappropriate here. One of the most popular progressive talk show hosts on the West Coast, Bernie Ward, was indicted last week. And we're going to talk about that controversial case coming up a little bit later this hour. But first, let's lighten up a little bit and talk about political theater.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
Yeah, and if you criticize them too much, they'll get you indicted for kiddie porn.
People say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
Larry Bogad returns to our program today. He is the professor of political performance at the University of California at Davis, and I suspect he had a hand in writing his own job description. Larry, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Peter.
Now, what is the provenance of that? I've never heard, I've introduced professors of politics and professors of performance, but I've never seen those two words put together in a title.
You know, I've spent my whole life trying to squish these two things together. Basically, I teach in the Department of Theater and Dance. And my specialty is looking at politics as performance and also performance as politics. So I definitely will watch George Bush's wonderful actions like landing on the aircraft carrier mm-hmm. in that wonderful jumpsuit and sort of break that down and analyze that as a performance. But I'm just as likely to talk about other candidates, but also look at demonstrations as political performances. You know what I mean? The way a protest movement will try to show to the rest of their colleagues and citizens what they're about, you know, by the way they show themselves in, mm-hmm. in public.
Right. Now, Larry, given the circumstances here, I want you to answer this question very carefully
okay.
because I'm looking at your Homeland Security file, and we would like to know your exact relationship to the billionaires for Bush.
Oh, well, there's this guy who's a billionaire for Bush. His name is Ali Gark,
uh-huh.
and he looks a lot like me, I'm told. I don't know what
I
that's
see.
About. He,
well, my personal handler is Monet Oliver Duplace. And I mangled that just so that the humor of the name comes out a little better.
Absolutely. And he does have money all over the place. It's wonderful. A good colleague of mine in Billionaires for Bush.
And what's the concept there? Explain.
The concept of Billionaires for Bush, it's, you know, started a number of years ago and then really reached a peak during the last election. And obviously it's a satire, but mm-hmm. it's a group of billionaires who just have benefited so much from Bush's neoconservative economic policies that they just can't help themselves. They have to go out in the street in their opera gowns, in their tuxedos, with their signs, and just express their love for Bush wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've done a great job, and I've seen them on location in different places. And also, I don't remember the actual name of this group, but I think they come from Seattle. And they have Bush and Cheney and Rice and Rumsfeld characters who go around in prison uniforms and chain themselves together as a chain gang.
Great.
Have you seen those guys?
I haven't seen them. I've seen a group called the Bushwhackers, who, or they're based in San Francisco, but they'll show up a lot of people in bush masks doing horrible things, you know, on the streets, that kind of thing. I think it's great. I mean, when power overreaches, it's up to the citizens to fight back in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So being funny and satirical isn't the only way, and it certainly isn't, but I think that it's a very important way to use humor.
Yeah, we're talking with Larry Bogad. He is the associate professor there at the University of California, Davis. He gets the title Professor of Political Performance. He's the author of Electoral Guerrilla Theater, Radical Ridicule and Social Movements. And I was hoping to get the book in time for the interview, but apparently it fell off the Wells Fargo wagon on the way over from Davis.
Sorry about that.
And there's some puzzled commuter sitting there looking at, what the hell is this?
Right, what is this thing?
Now, give us a high watermark in, you know, performance-type characters who have run for political office. For example, Jello Biafra, who
Absolutely.
Was the lead singer of the Dead Kennedys, and a very serious man.
Very much.
He ran for mayor of San Francisco twice, right?
Well, you know, I tell you about the 1979 run. It's something I do mention in the book. He ran a really, he's always had a sort of blistering sense of humor. You
mm-hmm.
know, he's real serious about a lot of issues, of course, and he has this very dark sense of humor that's very, you know, very, can get very deep at times. And he, in the pit of a sort of despair in San Francisco history, at a very, let's just say, not funny, very heavy time, he ran for mayor. And this was after, of course, the assassinations of the mayor and of Harvey Milk, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And the political system sort of said, okay, that happened. Let's just get on with business as usual. Let's run a couple of regular candidates, you know, Feinstein and Quentin Kopp, you know, sort of like, here's the usual old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just kind of move on after this disaster. And as you know, there had already been a riot and all kinds of, because the person who committed these crimes got a relatively light sentence.
Yeah, the White Night riots. It was
yeah.
Dan White was a supervisor who had resigned from office.
Yeah.
Then he had remorse about that. He went to Mayor Moscone and said, I want to take it back. And he said, well, I've got your replacement in the next room.
Right.
It's too late, Dan.
Yeah, sorry. And, of course, he did this horrible assassination, you know? And so this was really, I mean, to think of a time to do a comedy act, this is a rough time.
Right.
But what Biafra did, and what I think it's important to do sometimes, is he said, all right, I'm going to run this deeply ironic and bitterly sarcastic run for mayor as the punk candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had, you know, it's great that you mentioned this example. He really had a lot of very serious planks in his platform, and he also had a lot of very satirical planks. And he talks about that in his own spoken word album, one of those. And, you know, he got a few percentage points. He got, like, I think 3.5% of the vote or something.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, he really stirred up the pot, you know. And he got a lot of people thinking about, well, what does it mean when someone like him, who's clearly a prankster, you know, gets this much attention and gets this much of a point? We really, maybe we need to examine how we're running the system.
Now, Larry, let's fast forward to the present and take a look at the national efforts by people who'd like to be president.
Yeah.
And I'm a little touchy about one guy because when Mike Gravel announced he was running for president, I was one of the first media people to give him the time of day.
Uh-huh, right.
And I like him as a provocateur, as a guy who will blurt out the unexpected, somebody who, you know, doesn't use focus groups. I mean, we're not even sure he uses deodorant.
Right.
And at the same time, I realize that people think of him as almost a satirical candidate, but he's serious. Now, he doesn't expect to win, but he is running for the purpose of stirring things up, and I welcome that.
Yes. You know, he's sort of stretching the boundaries of debate. I think that's part of it. And a lot of, you know, there's a lot of ritual, and there's a lot of, like, a lot of unwritten regulations on how you're supposed to act as a candidate. Some people think this is a good thing because it keeps decorum, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is, it does leave a lot of people out. You're supposed to dress a certain way. You're supposed to talk a certain way. You're even supposed to carry yourself, you know, the way your posture in a certain way. These are sort of unwritten rules, but they're very real. And Gravel is definitely undermining that, and that's why he's getting, one of the reasons, I should say, why he's getting excluded from these debates and has to run his own internet running commentary.
Mm-hmm.
To the side of the debate, you know, which was an interesting kind of smart way to respond. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people have seen on YouTube how he's done sort of his performance art.
Yeah.
You know.
But somebody should have given Mike a mic. I saw that YouTube thing, and he's trying to, you know, they're feeding him words, and he's trying to say them, and they try to match them to the beat. But unfortunately, you know, it's like he didn't have an actual microphone.
Right.
They were using that cheap one on the front of the camera.
So even when you're doing a guerrilla action, production values are important, folks.
That's right.
Remember that.
Now, let's take some pot shots on the other side.
Sure.
I thought Mike Huckabee was going to be the comic candidate for the Republicans,
right.
But people are taking that guy seriously.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, because I think on the other side, I think that in some ways he's stretching the debate on the other side. He's kind of a little bit of a maverick, you know, and I'm not an expert on his politics, but I have followed him a bit. And as the sort of one of the church candidates on that side, I think it's very interesting, the whole idea that, by the way, Mitt Romney, as a Mormon, it's an interesting position there, isn't it? So he sort of has to, you know, Huckabee's going after him for that, and he sort of has to say, I am religious, you guys like this. And I am Mormon. I'm not going to swear away from that. But he's in this difficult position of saying, I'm religious enough for you all, and my religion isn't so foreign. And I think it speaks to the sort of limitations of the debate on the Republican side that someone like Romney has to do that under pressure from people like Huckabee. You know?
Well, it's interesting because Huckabee is allowed to answer the same-sex marriage question by saying, well, you know, I believe in the Bible and marriage is between a man and a woman.
Right.
And Romney has to answer, well, I believe in something, and I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. No, nobody else has to answer it that way, Larry.
Right. That's a very good point.
And,
it is interesting, though, when you watch the different debates, you're entering into these different universes, aren't you? So if you watch the Republican debates, the whole frame of reference for everything in the world is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like what's important to talk about, such as same-sex marriage.
Well, and when Romney gave that I want to be like John F. Kennedy speech, at the Bush Library in Texas.
Right.
The only thing that was missing was the late Lloyd Benson to say, I knew JFK, and you ain't no JFK, Mitt.
Right, exactly. I mean, going back to that moment, it's like JFK was taking a real strong and brave stand about the separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
He was addressing the questions about his own Catholicism, but he actually was taking it on in a real way. And it's tough. If you know what this actually, where we've gotten to at this point, it kind of comes back to the issue of like Gravel being kind of kicked out for or excluded for breaking the boundaries. People are afraid to break the boundaries, the sort of unwritten boundaries of the debate, if they think they have a shot. And the less of a shot they think they have, the more risks they're willing to take. And I think it's sad that everyone's not willing to take.
Well, that's an important point, Larry, because when the guys get up there with Hillary, mm-hmm. it appears they all hope to be selected as vice president. In one of the debates, she even said that to Dodd or Biden. You know, you might get a job in my administration. So, you know, she dangles those, and it clearly works. We got to take a break.
Okay.
Larry Bogad is our guest. He is a professor of political performance, University of California at Davis. His personal website, lmbogad.com, B-O-G-A-D. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
All right, folks, welcome to the very first traffic report of the afternoon. Let's get to it. Santa Cruz, we're cruising on up there right now. Got a problem, at least the mountains. Highway 17, the summit, get ready, folks. It's the first one I've reported so far. It is the proverbial Christmas tree in the left lane. Love that. Santa Cruz County, North on 1 at Mar Vista, we have an overturned pickup truck. It's in the center divide. CHP is diligently on scene there doing their job and helping those folks out. Monterey, southbound 1 at Camino Aguijito. It's a car partially blocking the off-ramp there. Also want to mention, let's take a look at southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel. So far, everything checking in pretty good for the most part. This report is brought to you by Gold Bond Medicated Powder Lotion. Don't let itchy skin keep you awake at night. Get fast soothing relief with Gold Bond Medicated Lotion. It's the moisturizing fix that medicates.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Larry Bogat is with us, professor of political performance, University of California at Davis. And Larry, I don't know if you know about these guys, Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping.
In fact, at least once or twice I was a deacon in the church.
You were?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, you weren't in the bus accident, were you?
Oh, not at all. In fact, not on that tour that's in the movie. I think it was at Burning Man.
Yeah.
And being a deacon is not as impressive as it sounds, believe me. My performance chops are not that great. I basically sort of acted like a bodyguard.
Uh-huh. And did you do the bleach bouffant to be just like Reverend Billy?
No one can have a bouffant like Reverend Billy. So
yeah.
Don't even try.
Yeah.
No one can equal that hair. It's awesome.
And have you seen the new film, What Would Jesus Do? Would Jesus Buy?
What Would Jesus Buy? I sure have. I really enjoyed it.
Isn't it amazing?
Absolutely.
And I give Bill Talen a lot of credit. I knew him when he was just a theater director in San Francisco.
Oh, great.
And he reinvented himself. Spalding Gray was part of the process there.
Oh, great.
Because Bill had been the curator of the Solo Mio Festival.
Uh-huh.
And that's how he met Spalding, and then he went to New York, and he had some sort of an epiphany moment at Times Square when Rudy was kicking out all the Russian hookers and allowing Starbucks to come in, and he just said, I couldn't take it anymore.
Right, the Disneyfication of New York.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And he created this character, and I love it. I try to have him on whenever there's an excuse, and I got to see the documentary before it was released. It's out there now. And I recommend it to people because it's funny, but it really drives home a powerful message about America's consumption addictions.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing. And by the way, I first met Bill in that Lower East Side kind of protesting because I moved here from New York just about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I remember watching him sort of starting the Reverend Billy character and it really picking up steam because he'd really put his finger on something, which is this wonderful mix of earnest belief and ironic worship.
Right.
If you know what I mean. Like, he really means what he's saying. So it's not just sort of flip, casual, ha-ha, laugh at me, I'm a televangelist,
mm-hmm.
although it is those things.
Right.
But he's also, he's making fun of himself, too, which I think is a great part of it.
Right.
So people can laugh along more comfortably. But he really has sincere beliefs in those sermons, even while he's being funny and outrageous, and he's got the choir behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing. For me, satire is this unstable mix of cynicism and idealism.
Yeah.
You really feel strongly about something, and you're very upset about the way democracy's not working correctly,
mm-hmm.
for example, and the corporations control so much of the political process, this sort of thing.
So give us another example from your repertoire or, you know, just some of these acts that you know about, like Reverend Billy, but maybe in the green arena or the progressive political arena.
Sure. One group I was very proud to participate in, and you can look them up online, is the Oil Enforcement Agency.
Yeah.
And the purpose of the Oil Enforcement
Agency... Website is?
It's oilenforcementagency.com.
Okay.
And it was sort of like, it was around the time of two State of the Union addresses ago, President Bush actually said, you know, we have a serious problem, America's addicted to oil, we need to move beyond the petroleum-based economy. I don't know if people out there remember that. But
oh, I do, sure.
Yeah. And we all were like, wow, he actually said those words. I know he doesn't mean it, but he said it anyway.
Hey, he's a guy who knows about addiction. And he knows about oil. He doesn't really know about them combined, but hey.
You know, this is a very, I never quite thought of it that way. That's excellent. And so we were like, well, what if he actually meant it?
Mm-hmm.
What if he was sincere and honest when he said that? Well, I guess if there's a DEA and he's saying we're addicted to oil, there'd be an oil enforcement agency. So we actually created sort of federal agent type costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And amongst other things, we raided the Los Angeles Auto Show.
The website looks really official, and you have a secret training manual?
Absolutely. I guess it's not so secret because you can download it for free, and we just told you how. But, you know, people should check it out. And yeah, absolutely. We sort of tied this sort of climate chaos crime scene tape around the worst SUVs, and we tried to explain to people that these cars were really dangerous to America. Please keep your distance.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really nice was as eventually the security guards and the police, of course, showed up, we were able to leave with relative dignity because we were able to handle it in character and say, right, our brother officers are here. You guys are in charge of this crime scene. Excellent. Good. Salute them. Just sort of march out. And it was the first time of an action like that that I got to leave with that much dignity. It was wonderful.
Larry, I got 30 seconds and two questions.
Okay.
Who's your bail bondsman?
We'll talk about that after.
And what does it take to get registered in one of your classes?
You know what? Come to UC Davis. Come to the Department of Theater and Dance. I'd love to meet anyone who wants to take a class with me.
All right. Larry, you're a hoot. Thanks for joining us
today.
Thank
you so much for the chance, Peter.
lmbogad.com. Is that right?
Com.org.
Did I get it right? Yeah. lmbogad.com. Check it out. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you so much, Peter.
All right. We'll talk. Coming up next, we'll talk about the plight of my radio colleague, Bernie Ward. He's off the air. He's facing federal indictments that could send him to federal prison. We'll talk about it and the politics of it next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Listen carefully. This might get confusing. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. What do we do about those CIA torture tapes, which we now learn were destroyed by the CIA? Or should I say non-torture tapes? Because the CIA says it recorded the interrogations of two terror suspects, and I'll quote from the AP here, to provide an added layer of legal protection for interrogators using new harsh methods authorized by President Bush, unquote, which would mean that they are in fact non-torture tapes because they were intended to prove that what happened was not torture, thereby protecting the CIA agents who engaged in the non-torture. But of course, to prove which CIA agents performed the completely legal non-torture, you have to show their faces. But by showing their faces, you jeopardize security, meaning the tapes, once they were recorded, had to be destroyed. Senator Carl Levin says that's a pathetic excuse.
It's a pathetic excuse.
But consider, by recording the tapes to protect the agents and then destroying the tapes also to protect the agents, you provide double the protection. Plus, notice what's happened to the debate here. Here's the new Republican frontrunner, Mike Huckabee.
If we're covering somebody's rear end, we need to expose their rear end and kick their rear end for doing something that's against the best interest of the United States.
Notice, the debate now is not over torture. It's about obstruction of justice, so that now we can have months and months of tough talk about whose rear end was being covered instead of about torture, which we can't prove happened because the tapes are gone. Destroying those tapes may have been illegal, but it was also a stroke of genius.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Sheila Gale. Join me every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 as we talk about effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges. Depression, death of a loved one, addictions, illness, fear. There's nothing we won't talk about. My guests include life coaches, best-selling authors, and you. Call in and together we'll find ways to live with less stress and more joy and peace. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers. Serving Monterey County since 1968. Sun Street Centers.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start to kick off with for the season the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreath.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I can't find that on the radio. Y'all turn to that station.
Can't find Bernie on the radio these nights. It's not music on the radio that's been making me sad. It is the federal indictment returned by a grand jury against Bernie Ward, the KGO radio host who has been on that station late at night and with its powerful signal up and down the West Coast. I have to say that virtually every one of my listeners knows who Bernie is, knows that he was the so-called lion of the left who offered the most critical commentary on the Bush administration, really of any major personality in California. And because of the way the station is structured, he, late at night, was the only real liberal voice. KGO has a lot of centrist-type hosts on the program, or on their lineup. And so he was clearly head and shoulders above the rest, and that same visibility may be one of the reasons that he is battling these federal indictments at this time. To talk about this, I invited my friend, colleague, and radio buddy, Peter Lawfer, to join us here on the program. He wrote a book about talk radio about 12 years ago. He has been in the business on and off since the late 1960s, and to be completely full disclosure here, he was my boss for a while, a program director at WRC Radio in Washington, D.C. Peter, thanks for joining us today.
It is always a pleasure, Peter B., to talk on your radio show.
And I did not know that you had written this op-ed piece, and when I opened the Chronicle this morning, I was very pleased to see it, and I think you made a number of good points that I'd like you to share with our listeners. They can find it online at the Chronicle website at sfgate.com. What was your first reaction when you heard this news about Bernie's indictment?
Well, the first reaction, Peter, is stereotypical, the same kind of reaction that occurs whenever something anomalous happens, and you see this all the time, of course, particularly in television reportage, when the neighbor says, "Oh my God, I couldn't imagine he was an axe murderer. He was always so nice to his wife," and that's the kind of reaction I had. It never would have occurred to me, but that these kinds of charges would be made against Bernie Ward. But then, who really would think these kinds of charges would be made against anyone? The child pornography charges, almost by definition, will be a surprise, because people who engage in the trade of child pornography don't usually walk around with sandwich signs up and down the street.
Right, yeah. Well, and one of the things that's fascinating when you look at Bernie Ward's background, I thought he was only a seminarian, but it turns out that he was actually an ordained Catholic priest for about 2 years, and then he was released from his vows and left the order in order to marry. And I've been listening to, I work on Sunday mornings, and so I often listen to Bernie's God Talk show. And I'm not a terribly religious person, but I find him interesting in the way he navigates the world of religion and politics. And so, you know, in many respects, that image for me is one of the things that says, well, it couldn't be. This certainly couldn't be true. But on the flip side of that, because he is listed as a former Catholic priest, and because so many priests had pedophile tendencies that were kept under wraps and caused great embarrassment and pain and suffering inside the Catholic Church, that label leads many people to jump to a conclusion. Oh, former priest into kiddie porn? What's the surprise there?
Yeah, indeed, and it's impossible not to make that connection. It's also interesting, again, extrapolating away from Bernie personally, but to this sort of scenario, it's like the Senator Craig business. Oh, Senator Craig, who's so completely verbose and obnoxious about homosexual rights, couldn't be Senator Craig in the bathroom playing footsie.
Yeah. So we have images, we have stereotypes, and then we have this difficult situation. What Bernie has said, and his attorney has reiterated, is that some 3 years ago, he went online, he has admitted to the feds that he browsed and downloaded some pornographic images, apparently of children. And he also apparently has acknowledged that he went into some chat rooms where people interested in that ilk apparently were trading messages, maybe even trading some photographs.
And the FBI or other police authorities were in those chat rooms also and apparently trailed him as he made his way around them.
And so he appears to be in a very difficult criminal prosecution predicament, where in order to try to work with the investigators who came 3 years ago and confiscated his computers at the house, you know, over the course of this time, apparently there were some discussions and negotiations, I think Bernie really felt that just by telling the truth, as he saw it, that everything would be okay. So he said, look, I was researching a book about hypocrisy. And yes, I went on these websites, I downloaded a few images, I went into these chat rooms, and I engaged in chat with some people, but it was purely for research. And from, again, what is available to us, we have no evidence that there was a pattern of interest in child pornography on the part of Bernie Ward. And that is one of the things that we assume, you know, is part of a pattern of behavior, that those who view that and find it arousing are compulsive about it and really can't do it just once. And so that fits into, you know, my predisposition to believe that Bernie is not engaging in this for personal titillation or pleasure. And yet we've heard stories before. Pete Townsend of The Who was caught with some images on his computer and said that he was doing an investigation. Well, Pete's a rock star. He's not a journalist or a radio talk show host, and that was quite a stretch. But I have to say on the face of it, Peter, that I believe Bernie's story.
Well, as you are welcome to do, Peter, and I don't know. I don't have enough information to believe or disbelieve Bernie's story. My concern and the reason I wrote the op-ed was, well, there were several reasons. One was I thought that it was just a bit bizarre the way he seemed to be tried and sentenced and hang by his neck till he died immediately as these charges were made public. I also thought that the announcement from his employer was tepid, as I put it in the op-ed.
Well, and you were diplomatic about that. You used to be a program director.
Yes, and your boss, as you pointed out.
If you had a situation like that, I know your commitment to the First Amendment and to free speech rights, and you would issue a robust statement defending your talk show host and saying that he is entitled to the presumption of innocence, and we will give that to him as this process goes forward.
Absolutely, Peter. And even on a selfish level, from the standpoint, as you point out, as a program director, what a great ratings grabber. Why would you want to let this guy go? But it's much more important than that, of course, as you point out. If we are going to continue to believe in the presumption of innocence in a judicial system that requires the government to prove someone guilty and that they are presumed innocent until they are so proved, it just is incomprehensible that KGO would not just suspend him, but also say that they were shocked. And I don't have the copy in front of me, but there was a second word there that made me come up with tepid.
Yeah, surprised. They said that we were just recently made aware of these serious charges and are surprised and concerned by their nature.
That's the word that I found really quite vile. And it baffles me that we do not take the presumed innocent approach here. Now, that is not to say I'm in no position to know if this man's guilty or if this man's innocent, and I don't know him well. He's been gracious, as I mentioned, to invite me onto his program when my books come out so that I can speak about them. But the whole notion there of the innocence until guilt is proved. And then the secondary question, which I bring up in there, and I'm sure that this resonates well with you and probably your listeners, Peter, if in fact his story is true, and again, no way to know if his story is true, that mm-hmm. he was researching a book, and this is the result, what is the proper role for a journalist who wants to engage in research on subjects sensitive such as this?
Well,
not just talking about child pornography here, but other such subjects where getting involved as an independent investigator has the potential to jeopardize your personal freedom and security.
Well, it's very clear.
Does it mean that you have to get in bed with the prosecutor?
No. You have to be Ed Meese or Charlie Keating, and you have to lead a crusade against pornography so that you then have license to view it.
Well, that certainly is one way to look at it. The Meese Report is full of dirty pictures.
Yep. Uh-huh. So on a more serious note, Peter, one of the concerns that I have is the big picture here, and we see it in great relief here in the case of Bernie Ward. And that is that in getting tough on crime, Republicans and Democrats have embraced this notion of zero tolerance. And they have passed a very stringent, I would call them draconian laws, with minimum mandatory sentences. And in the case, and I'm not a lawyer, and I have not read the federal law that Bernie has been indicted under, but based on news accounts and the opinions of others, what I've pieced together here is that simply for possessing these images, regardless of his intent, regardless of the motivation, that he is subject to a minimum sentence of 5 years per image.
And it's more than the possession. It's the possession and the trading and then the engagement in the chat rooms. There are three points that the prosecutors apparently are bringing up mm-hmm. as chargeable offenses. But, you know, Peter, you speak about the big picture, and what I tried to make clear in the op-ed is that this there's plenty to talk about just with this story, but post-September 11th, this is one element in a parade of problems that I see regarding aggressive police work that starts to look like police statism. And in the op-ed, I mentioned the tunnel coming in from Mexico that apparently was used to smuggle drugs into California, and how there is now a post-9/11 crime that I hadn't heard about until I read about this tunnel, which makes it illegal, because there are so many of these types of tunnels now on the border, it makes it illegal to design a tunnel. There was only room for 900 words in this op-ed. Within the same time period of Bernie's arrest and the unveiling of this tunnel, a tourist was arrested in New York who is a subway aficionado, and he was arrested handcuffed on the street and charged with some sort of terrorism-related crime because he was taking pictures of subway stations.
Mm-hmm.
This guy likes subway stations. it stretches the imagination that we can't protect subways from potential terrorist acts without picking up tourists with Leicas that are taking snapshots. And at the same time, it's hard to imagine that a hardcore terrorist is going to be so bumbling as to be wandering around taking pictures with a Leica
in order to
figure out where to plant a bomb or whatever.
These examples also point up the tilt post 9/11 of the Patriot Act and other legislation that presumes that federal prosecutors are always benign and always, you know, on the up and up, and that they can arbitrarily interpret and place a motivation or an intention on someone's actions, which otherwise might be easily explained.
It's not to say that these things are not potentially problematic. It's not to say that Bernie Ward is innocent. It's not to say that the tourist in New York wasn't some mindless terrorist or mindful terrorist. What I think you're pointing out, and certainly how I feel, Peter, is that we have to be extraordinarily careful about letting go of any of the rights and privileges that we've assembled over these 200-plus years based on our revolution, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, in the name of some kind of perceived problem and some sort of perceived solution.
We're going to take a break and return with Peter Laufer. Read his op-ed piece at sfgate.com. He's got a website at peterlaufer.com, spelled L-A-U-F-E-R. And we'll take some calls, too. Join me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We did invite Bernie Ward to comment, and so far he has declined. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
All right, let's take a look at traffic as you folks make your way home tonight, or this afternoon, I should say. Did have a problem northbound 17 for the Katz restaurant. It was a Christmas tree in the right lane. Looks like they've cleared that off. And we do want to tell you about, there's really no other major stalls or accidents to tell you about. Highway 17, besides that Christmas tree, everything looking pretty good. Want to mention that we did have a little bit of slow traffic. Between eastbound 183, sluggish between Castroville and Salinas. Also taking a look at eastbound 25, slow and go out of Gilroy into Hollister. Those pockets of slow traffic, southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, but for the most part, it looks pretty good, to be honest with you. And also want to take a look at northbound and southbound 101, moderate in and out of Salinas. Northbound 101 also slows at San Miguel Canyon. Turnoff. The support brought to you by Spike's All Natural Santa Fe Salsa and Con Queso.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. 8 minutes in front of the hour. Our music of the moment is from soul singer R. Kelly. It's called I Believe I Can Fly. In June of 2002, R. Kelly was indicted on 21 counts of having sex with a minor. The charges, later reduced to soliciting a minor for child pornography, stem from a videotape allegedly showing him having sex with a 14-year-old girl. And according to Wikipedia, R. Kelly still faces 14 of those original charges some 5.5 years later. We continue with Peter Laufer. He's my colleague and friend and a radio talk show host, a former program director, author of the book Inside Talk Radio, and many others. And Peter, one of the other things that I think contributes to this climate is this ugly show that is not journalism but passes for investigative infotainment called To Catch a Predator. Now, you're handicapped because you don't own a television by choice. But this is a disgusting series of so-called investigations that NBC has featured prominently on its Dateline primetime magazine show. And they've done so many of these entrapment stings that they now spin them off as independent hours on the cable channel MSNBC.
And in fact, I am familiar with it, although I do not watch it on television, as you point out, Peter, because one of those was conducted in Petaluma, California, near to where I live. And the question of its appropriateness has been debated in the community and in the local newspaper, the Press Democrat.
Mm-hmm. But what it creates is this image that America is swimming in people with sexual irregularities or psychopathologies, and that they're doing us all a public service by creating the trap that draws these people in. And I just think it leads to the sense of self-righteousness that the average voyeuristic viewer feels about locking up that schlub who fell into this trap. And I don't dismiss or try to rationalize their behavior, but I'm very cognizant that if NBC hadn't created the trap, that these guys wouldn't have fallen into it.
Well, that's a hard balance to know. Are they out there looking and they happen to stumble into this one, or are they entrapped because it exists? And I suppose that there's an argument that can be made that with credibility that if they do fall into that trap, doesn't that make them someone to be worried about? Would you fall into that trap? But again, not to dismiss your concerns here, Peter, but the even bigger concern that I have, the bigger picture that I tried to draw attention to with that piece in the paper, is this whole sense post 9/11 of be afraid, and that is fed into by what you were just discussing, that there's danger all around you, whether it's the neighborhood postman or it's the Russians with their A-bombs now flying around again, or H-bombs. Be afraid, be very afraid, and we'll take care of you. We'll protect you. Just do what we say, and don't do what we say not to do. And that environment, so completely contrary to FDR saying the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, it is just repugnant.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of good news. The New York Times reporting today that the Supreme Court has enhanced the power of federal district judges to use their discretion in arriving at sentences varying from the minimum mandatories. They're called downward departures when they under-sentence according to the statutes. And maybe the judge in Bernie's case, if it reaches that point, would be able to use some discretion. I also think that their attorneys will try to get the charges dropped or thrown out, because that appears to be the one of the few routes to a successful conclusion from Bernie's point of view.
Let's and go. Then again, Peter, he may be guilty.
If that's the case, I will accept that. But I'm highly, highly suspicious and quite skeptical. Jen in Sacramento, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show with Peter Laufer.
Hello, both Peters.
Hello, Jen.
Hi. First of of all, I have to say, we've never been innocent until proven guilty. You've always been guilty until, by the grace of God, that you were found innocent. It's just awful. But the other thing that I'd like to say is, you know, it used to be that you actually had to commit a crime, and I might fall for this scenario of, well, we're just trying to make sure that you know, we have these criminals and we're just taking care of them before anything happens. But let's not forget about Foley. When Foley was messing with those young pages and they didn't have a problem with him going around and then just going to rehab, then he wasn't facing any prison time. And last time I checked, he still isn't facing any prison time.
You're correct about that, Jen. There's also, next hour, I'm going to discuss some double standards. There's a New York Times reporter who allegedly conducted an investigation and was not charged by the feds. Then there was a freelance reporter in Washington, D.C., who claims to have done similar research, and he was convicted and did some federal time. Jen, thank you very much for your call. Dave and Eureka, you're next. Go ahead.
Well, Peter and Peter, I'm very much inclined to suspect, as you do, that Bernie Ward be a setup. He's so very, very outspoken. One of the things that he studied the events of 9-1-1, came to the conclusion it was an inside job, and says so on the air. And if there's anything that would bring a retaliation down on him, I suspect that would be it.
All right, Dave, thank you. The Bernie Ward Legal Defense Fund is accepting contributions at P.O. Box 681, El Cerrito, California, 94530. Box 681, El Cerrito, 94530. Peter Laufer, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your comments.
Peter B. Collins, it's always a pleasure to be on your fine radio program.
All right, sir. We'll talk again soon. We're going to open up the phone lines to hear from you. The next hour is your free speech zone. You can comment on this or anything else in the news. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And Bernie, you hang in there.
The superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
It was me at the gunman and God.
Gene Assam is the security guard who shot and killed the gunman who shot his way into the New Life Church in Colorado Springs yesterday. He'd already killed two sisters in the parking lot.
I was just focused, and I just knew I was not going to wait for him to do any further damage. I just knew what I had to do.
Assam says she took him down. 24-year-old Matthew Murray was killed. Now, authorities confirmed that Murray was responsible for an attack earlier in the day at a school for missionaries in Arvada, Colorado. Two people were killed there.
The suspect had a backpack on his person, and when the contents of the backpack were removed, which are still being inventoried, they find that there is the capability to hold over 1,000 rounds of ammunition and clips for weapons that this individual had on his person.
Jeff Jensen of the Colorado Springs Police. The motive isn't known. Police who knew Murray say he'd been raised in a very religious family, homeschooled, but several years ago he was kicked out of the missionary school that he attacked yesterday. A CBS News New York Times poll finds big changes in the race for the Republican presidential nomination. Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee is now number two.
Among Republican primary voters nationwide, Rudy Giuliani had the support of 22%, Mike Huckabee 21%, Mitt Romney 16%. That's very close among the top three. John McCain and Fred Thompson have dropped down to single digits.
Among Democrats, Hillary Clinton is the choice of 44%, but that's down from 51% in October. Barack Obama, who was at 23% in October, is up to 27% now. John Edwards is a distant third at 11%. If the NFL is willing, Michael Vick could return for the 2009 season. Today, a federal judge in Richmond sentenced Vick to 23 months in prison for running a dogfight ring. Vick had already reported to prison and, with time off for good behavior, could be out a year from June. Much of the world worries about Iran getting nuclear weapons, but the more immediate danger is that nuclear material already in existence might fall into the wrong hands. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports former Soviet bloc countries in Eastern Europe, along with other nations, are cooperating with the United States to make sure that doesn't happen.
Most of this material is really like processed uranium, spent fuel rods, the kind of highly enriched uranium that could be fashioned into weapons, or could be coupled with regular explosives to make so-called dirty bombs. The governments of these other countries are full partners, according to the U.S. government, in trying to secure these stockpiles.
The U.S. Department of Energy has taken charge of the program. The price of oil down 42 cents to $87.86 a barrel today, and stocks were higher. The Dow Industrials up 101 points to 13,727. The Nasdaq gained nearly 13. This is CBS News.
We're shopping mall, there's shopping mall. Things that are small, Bob's big and tall. Drop, fix a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Holiday jams. They're great for toast, bad for last-minute shopping sprees. Steer clear with a Garmin Nuvi with traffic alerts.
Traffic ahead.
Give a Garmin.
Preserve your sanity with a Garmin Nuvi. Find it at your favorite retailer.
Reason number 13 to switch to Geico. Everybody else is doing it. Now we know that logic never won an argument with your mom, especially when you were lobbying for that BB gun. You could put an eye out or something. But when it comes to car insurance, joining the crowd could be a good thing. Last year, more than 3 million drivers switched to Geico for savings, round-the-clock service, and the latest in online technology. Yep, millions switched, and nobody put a single eye out.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
A Supreme Court ruling today gives federal judges lots of leeway in imposing sentences for crack cocaine. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
It was Congress that directed judges to impose sentences for crack cocaine that are much harsher than for powder cocaine, an identical substance more likely to be used by white drug abusers. The Supreme Court didn't change that, but said judges can lower the sentence, as one did in this case for a defendant represented by attorney Michael Nachmanoff.
This really is a vindication for sentencing judges to be able to exercise their discretion to impose fair sentences.
A second ruling today in a case about ecstasy makes clear the Supreme Court wants judges to be able to stray from federal guidelines and reduce sentences if they think that's the right thing to do. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Washington.
Customs agents in El Paso arrested a 17-year-old boy who brought six holiday candles across the border on Saturday. Inside those candles, they found 30 pounds of marijuana. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Live, a
unscripted and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Could have been me.
Interrupting all programs.
Radio's got some pirate satellites orbiting your living room, catching in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the light.
This is Radio Class.
Some pirate satellites.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the Free Speed Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B.
888-573-8372. Giving deadly exhibitions of murder and Nepal.
Here's an email that came in from Marcia, who lives in Florida. She writes, I'm listening to your Friday show on Sunday on KPOJ's rerun. I want to thank you so much for your supportive words for Bernie Ward. I completely agree with you that this indictment is complete BS and politically motivated. After the 2000 election, I went to the web to search out like-minded people. I found Bernie through the White Rose Society. I live in Florida and have listened to Bernie faithfully, although I don't know him personally. I know with every ounce of my being that Bernie would never abuse any child. I completely believe his explanation. I believe they, quotes, have taken advantage of the situation to punish Bernie for his very vocal criticism of this administration and to send a message to other critics. I wonder who is next. Randy? Mike Malloy? You? I don't know if you've seen any of the crap on the internet, but basically there are tons of comments which have now made Bernie out as a pedophile. You know, former priest plus child porn charge equals pedophile. It is sickening and sad, and no matter how these charges turn out, serious damage has been done to Bernie, and it is outrageous. Thank you so much for your support for Bernie. I've wanted to scream from the rooftops, you people are idiots. Bernie is not a pedophile. I'm so glad you used your voice to speak for me. Thank you. Signed, Marcia. Well, thank you, Marcia. I don't know you either, but I respect your point of view, and I appreciate your support for the rights of Bernie Ward. And this is something where, picking up on what I discussed with Peter Laufer, I think it's very important. I will squarely support the rights of Bernie Ward. And as Peter and I said, we don't know what his intentions were. We don't know if the story about researching a book was an excuse to cover a lapse in his behavior. I don't know. But I believe it's a selective prosecution that amounts to persecution for his political views. And I think this is a serious threat to discourse in this country and the open discussion of political criticism. Anybody who's listened to Bernie Ward knows his leftist politics, his blistering criticism of the Bush administration. And I have rarely found his positions to be wrong from my point of view. I sometimes disagree with the way he presents them, the way he argues with callers, that kind of thing. Those are style questions. But on the essence of it, Bernie Ward has my full support. And I believe that these charges should be thrown out. This is going to be a long process. I mean, I read the file on R. Kelly. He was first accused in 2002. Right. Bernie Ward may not return to the air for a year or two or longer. And that's if he is vindicated. If he is convicted, he would likely spend at least several years in jail. Now, let's take the case of Larry Matthews. And by the way, you can read this article at counterpunch.org. That's Alexander Coburn's website. And it was written by Debbie Nathan, who I don't know, but is described as a New York City-based journalist who writes about sexual politics. And in her take on this piece, on this story, the indictment of Bernie Ward, she cites the case of Larry Matthews. Matthews was a Washington, D.C. area radio reporter in his late 50s. He had won press awards, was known for covering social issues, including the problem of Internet child porn. When arrested, he said he had acquired illegal material because he was impersonating a pedophile in order to do another story. The government countered that Matthews had no notes or story assignment, and while the ACLU, NPR, and other press and First Amendment organizations filed supporting legal briefs, an appellate court ruled that journalists have no right to acquire or distribute child pornography while doing research. Matthews was convicted and served several months in a halfway house. Now, here's another example for you, cited by Ms. Nathan in this article. New York Times reporter Kurt Eichenwald, he's no longer a reporter, in 2006, he's no longer at the Times, I'm sorry, said he accidentally accessed a few illegal images while doing months-long reporting on Internet child pornography. In a sidebar to one of his articles, the Times said that a law excused the reporter's encounter with the illegal material. But Eichenwald's published work implied that he had accessed far more than two images. You may have heard that in the law there's some weird exclusion that says, well, you know, a couple of images might be accidental, but the third one, that shows you're serious. And I don't know how arbitrarily they arrived at that. In 2005, Eichenwald obtained and used administrative sign-on privileges to explore a commercial porn website containing images of a 14-year-old boy pleasuring himself. Eichenwald went on to write a major Time story based on reporting that he did about the site and the people that ran it. He took the young man who ran the site to federal authorities, where he turned state's evidence against his business partners, the young man did, in exchange for immunity. As a result, four people were arrested and convicted. And Eichenwald's work led to congressional hearings where he testified, and witnesses made unsubstantiated claims about the prevalence of Internet child predators and pornography. Eichenwald has not been prosecuted. So the New York Times was able to conduct this kind of research and publish it, and Mr. Eichenwald has received no sanctions from federal authorities. This is another reason why one can say, at minimum, Bernie Ward's situation is highly arbitrary. It is selective prosecution. And on that basis, again, I am prepared to assert his rights and to speak out on behalf of his rights. And I'd love to see this assigned to a federal judge who, day one, throws it out of court. Mildred in Coos Bay, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, hello there, Peter B. You took the words right out of my mouth, and before you start citing cases, but two additional things I wanted to say is Bernie Ward's radio station was suddenly bought up by a very conservative conglomerate, and I think it starts with a C. I can't remember the name.
Well, the entire ABC radio chain was sold to a company called Citadel. And Citadel, this is unrelated, but I want to give you this information, all right? Uh-huh. In a survey of talk radio group owners and the markets where talk radio is on the air, conducted in April of 2007, it showed that of the stations then owned by Citadel, they hadn't completed the deal to take over ABC at that time, 100% featured conservative talk. On Citadel's lineup in April of 2007, the survey found zero liberal or progressive talk show hosts. So that speaks to a potential bias by the company.
Exactly, and that's one issue that I was concerned about. I listen to you and Bernie Ward regularly. I listen to other people, too, but both of you are my favorite people because you both don't BS anybody. And I just really think Bernie got set up. I don't know, of course. I heard you with your mentor earlier and walking on eggs because nobody knows what's going on yet. But my gut feeling is Bernie got set up. You know, he is very definite about his views.
Yep.
He's very clear. He's very, very bright. He's not quite as nice as you are. You can say the same thing as he does, but he's like a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
And he doesn't give the neocons any slack. And then when the radio station is bought up by a neocon conglomerate, Well, you just really wonder what would happen to someone like Bernie or the man following him or another person that is a substitute, you know, radio talk show host. And I've listened to Bernie Ward for several years,
mm-hmm.
and I've never really heard him say anything untoward. But the neocons won't like what he says because he exposes them and tells the truth in all kinds of different ways. And with Citadel taking over, I was wondering how long he was going to last.
Well, Mildred, the other thing I want to interject here, and I'm offering this as information. I'm not floating conspiracies or anything of that sort.
Well, I'm not either.
But I think it's important to note that, you know, Bernie tried to cooperate with the federal prosecutors. And we have a pattern here of U.S. attorneys who did political prosecutions at the behest of Karl Rove and other people directing them from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the full details.
Exactly.
But there's Governor Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama, who's behind bars. It appears the election was rigged that threw him out of office, and then when he tried to run to challenge his successor, they threw a bunch of phony political charges, and these U.S. attorneys responding to Karl Rove were at the center of that issue. And so Kevin Ryan, who was fired as the U.S. attorney in San Francisco, by all accounts, because he was incompetent, the only thing he really brought was the Balco case that now has Barry Bonds heading to court.
Mm-hmm.
And it does appear that he may have been trying to save his ass by serving up Bernie Ward for the consumption of his superiors in Washington.
Well,
that is 100% speculation. I want to be very clear about that.
Right.
But the question has to be raised because this indictment was spawned under the U.S. attorney leadership of Kevin Ryan. Now, he got bounced, and he's been replaced by a Republican, but not a neocon, a respected guy named Joe Russinello. And I don't know why Russinello let these charges go forward. He took over just about 3 weeks ago, and in my view, would have been able to put a hold on them or a kibosh on them if he wanted to. Not sure what happened. We got to get to the bottom of this, Mildred. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling from Coos Bay today. More of your calls coming up next. There's one line open in the Free Speed Zone at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drink. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's Hot Dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's mm-hmm. just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
And there we go, folks. Let's take a look at the very latest. We want to mention that we do have a problem being reported. It is, let's see, Carmel, as our traffic network comes up here. Here we go. It's in Carmel. It's Carmel Valley Road at Rippling River. Two-vehicle accident blocking the eastbound lane. Capitol activity working on northbound Highway 1 right at Park Avenue. An overturned pickup truck partially blocking the roadway. CHP is on scene.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Thanks for sharing your commute, but I can't let you into the diamond lane just because I'm here. Sorry. Taking your calls in the free speed zone. All the lines are jammed, but when we hang up on somebody, give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. Barbara Yubadubadoo is on the line from Yuba City. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. I have a couple of points that I'd like to make, please. First of all, if this all reared its ugly head 3 years ago, I cannot understand why the lag time, why they didn't go, if they were going to go after him, go after him.
I don't understand all that either. The Matiran Ross investigative team in the San Francisco Chronicle reported on Sunday that earlier this year the U.S. Attorney's Office offered a plea bargain to Bernie Ward that if he would plead guilty to one charge, they would just give him 5 years in federal prison. And the way it's described is he did not respond and the offer expired. And so I don't know all of the vagaries here, but your question is a sound one. Why did it take 3 years from the time they seized his computers to press these charges? And to his credit, you know, having listened to Bernie, you know, as recently as a week or two ago, in facing this, I did not hear him tone down his criticism or pull punches in what he talked about on the program.
No, the only thing that I had noted is that he has that Thanksgiving charity that he does every year.
Right.
And he seemed very depressed, and he said that people were not donating because they said they hated him. Now, I don't know if that was from a Citadel or if this was a drumbeat that they knew that this was going on when nobody else did or what. I thought that was a very questionable. I was very surprised because usually it's an extremely popular charity.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that, oh my gosh, now I've lost my thought. But the one thing that I will have to point out is that anybody that gets mixed up with a kid in any way at all is a fool. They have their little tentacles out and they will find out no matter what it is, you're going to wind up on the wrong end of the stick.
Well, you make a good point. You know, a lot of people think that you can surf the web and that there's no record of it, but your hard drive, even if you think you've erased everything, keeps track of every website you've ever visited and almost every page that you've looked at. So you need to be aware of that. It's a big brother world we live in. Thanks for the call, Barbara.
Really,
now to Karen in Monterey. Thank you, Karen. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. You know, Bernie Ward opened up the story about the pedophilia priests. He was one of the first ones in the country to blow the cover on those pervert priests.
Well, indeed. Bernie also worked in the news department at KGO on and off over the years. And so he sometimes was doing investigations, and yes, there were a number of priests who were guilty of embezzlement as well as sexual misdeeds. And on his regular program and on the God Talk show that he did on Sundays, he did reveal those stories and was often ahead of the curve. I recall at one point he collaborated in an investigation with either the Examiner before it was sold by Hearst or the Chronicle. This may be about 10 years ago. So you're correct. He was on the cutting edge of those stories, and it was painful for him to criticize the Catholic Church, which he clearly loves a great deal.
Well, yes, that's true. But he would just let it rip, and more recently he would let it rip against the Israel lobby, against the Israeli policies, against Nancy Pelosi and her ties with the Israel lobby and AIPAC, and I think there is a tie in with his whole problem now.
Well, we can't completely prove it. We can certainly speculate, and I share that view. The other part of it I can say is that the hosts who fill in for him, and you know, even people like me, get a very chilling message from this. And I'm very concerned about that, and so I want to do everything I can to help support Bernie. Once again, I want to give you the address for the Bernie Ward Legal Defense Fund. It is Box 681, Box 681, El Cerrito, California, zip code 94530. I'll say it again, P.O. Box 681, El Cerrito, zip code 94530. Make your check out to the Bernie Ward Legal Defense Fund. More of your calls in a moment as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Making the invisible visible.
Several weeks ago, I saw UFOs over Monterey Bay using night vision equipment.
If you want to see UFOs, contact me, Bob Oliver, and listen to the Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Recent polls show that 93% of the people do not trust our government. Tune in Saturday at 11 a.m. for answers and discussion. We are not alone. Our history books are not accurate. Call in, add your piece to the puzzle. Night vision goggles, UFOs. That's simple. Think for yourself. The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday, 11 a.m. on Progressive Radio, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
For my homeless faces, kick to the cracks of city places. Got plenty of space, so what's the basis?
This is Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Show, and I have good news and bad news for KRXA listeners. First, the good news. I'm cutting an hour from the Tasty Planet Show starting this Saturday. That's right, Saturdays, you'll have an extra hour to sleep in since I'll be delivering everything tasty for your ears starting at 2 p.m. That's the Tasty Planet Show, Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Now the bad news. Just when you thought radio couldn't get any worse, starting December 10th, I'll be live with you for 2 hours, weekdays, Monday through Friday, following the Peter B. Collins Show. That's evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. What's the Scott Dick Show? Glad you asked. We'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, news that hasn't already been lip-smacked to death, right-wing nuttery, weird news, yes, there's a difference, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that influences our lives. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and listen in evenings 6 to 8 on KRXA. December 10th, the gift you can't give back. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., the Scott Dick Show, where we'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Free speech.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're taking your calls in the free speech zone. I've got one line open for you right now, toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B. It's a mad world. Music of the moment from Tears for Fears there, going way back. Greg's on the line from Sacramento. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Peter. I got off work just in time to catch your discussion with your guest earlier.
Yeah, Peter Laufer.
And after I get off the phone with you, I'll go check out that that editorial.
Mm-hmm.
I just quickly want to say to the nutcase that you had a conversation with last week. Netter, netter, netter.
Okay.
You remember?
Yes, I do. But
okay. I can't. Now the court date is going to be in January, correct?
Well, you know, I don't have a lot of details on that. He's been indicted, but it can take quite a while for any. I think an arraignment would be next, and then there would be a trial or at least preliminary arguments scheduled.
So,
and the federal docket takes a long time, so I don't think anything's going to happen very quickly here.
Well, you know, I think, you know, what I was initially going to tell you, when I called you last week, you know, my thought is that somebody's trying to ruin his reputation or his career, one of the two, or both, and just drag his name through the mud. But what I was initially thinking, if it does come to a trial, there's no jury that is going to convict him. I mean, if it gets...
Hold on. Because the jury may not have the latitude to look at motive. And based on the news accounts, Bernie has admitted to the investigators, yeah, I downloaded some images, here's why. I went into a chat room, here's why. And they're saying that the why part doesn't matter. The fact is very narrowly constructed in the law that if you are in possession of these kinds of images, that you're violating the law. And as I mentioned, there's no exclusion for journalists or for research. And I don't think you can go down to the courthouse and say, hey, I'm a reporter and I want to look at some kiddie porn. And so if there is a trial, you cannot count on the jury being able to nullify the charges by offering their view of the context or the motive. And I very much want that to occur, but the problem we have is that these zero-tolerance laws, generally crafted by conservatives but embraced by progressives and Democrats for politically defensive reasons, have led us to this stage where the courts don't have the kind of ability to review specific charges, cases, and motives in view of the alleged violation.
So then we have to hope that before that that stage that there's the possibility that it can be dismissed.
We need a judge to throw out the charges. Again, I'm an armchair lawyer here, but that's my sense. And over the next few days, I've got calls out to some experienced defense attorneys, and we will try to get some legal detail here on exactly how the law works and whether I'm correct about the limited range that a jury would have. I also referenced earlier that the federal courts have been instructed by the Supreme Court that they do have more latitude on crack sentencing.
Right.
And that's an important step forward. But there was an underlying change in the law by the Congress that, may be facilitating that change. So I don't know of any lightening of the kiddie porn laws to balance these interests and to recognize that not everyone in possession of an image has the same intent to violate the law.
Well, I still think if it did go to trial with his stature, there's not going to be a jury that's going to convict him. I mean, he's too popular. People are familiar with what he's done in the past, and as far as what he's done put into the community, and I just can't see it.
All right, thank you, Greg. Appreciate your call today. More of your calls coming up in just a moment, but ladies and gentlemen, I got an email earlier today that Tommy Panic is on the case. He found out that Rudy Giuliani was holding a little get-together at Mel's Diner, a burger joint in San Francisco today. And that's as much as I know. Tommy Panic, our low-budget, undercover, investigative reporter, returns to the program today. Hello, Tommy.
Pleasure to be on, Peter. A correction, if you don't mind. It is Mel's Drive-In. Mel's Diner was from the... Was it the Vic Tayback Linda Lavin vehicle,
right.
Alice?
Excuse me, you are right.
It's okay. But the real story here, I have infiltrated the security detail for the only candidate whose own children hate him. I mean, it's all about the family values, though. I'm wearing black. I got sunglasses. I'm like that guy in the Matrix. I'm keeping watch. Here's the thing, though. I was kind of hoping, doing security for Rudy Giuliani, I keep in pretty good shape. I was hoping for something a little more rigorous, and instead, I mean, this is interesting. The guy that all he can talk about is 9/11. I like the Joe Biden quote, there's a noun, a verb, and 9/11.
In every sentence.
With Rudy G.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 120 days before the presidential election, before the Secret Service gets involved in this thing, so... That's how I was able to get involved with private security, not Blackwater, of course, to keep watch. But here's the thing. My gig here, instead of protecting the candidate, I am outside the drive-in, not the diner, and I've been directed by the mayor's right-hand man to invite attractive young female Republicans, he calls them calves, back to the former mayor's headquarters for some personal time with Mr. Giuliani himself.
Really?
What a treat. I'm handing out 9/11 medallions to eager young things. It's pretty subtle.
Mm-hmm.
He's made some promises to voters, the continued war spending, all that stuff, terrorism, security. He is the 9/11 guy. Also that while on the campaign trail, he will pay for the security of his mistresses out of his own pocket.
Oh, really? That's generous.
What's in the fine print if, mm-hmm. if you get a microscope? Again, the family values guy. He's Pat Robertson's choice, which is kind of weird. You know, the sad thing, though, that for a lot of the male Americans, the fact that Rudy G is getting laid by a younger woman is good enough for their vote.
I see.
but once in the White House, we're being totally hypothetical here, looking in a crystal ball. And I mean, if you're a huge George W. Bush fan, and I know a lot of them listen to your show, Peter.
Oh, yeah, lots.
Rudy's your guy. I mean, all politicians appoint people they know to positions. Obviously, number 43, taking it to a whole new level. Rudy, though, is practically his clone in that regard and telling bold-faced lies. My point, though, that if this guy gets elected, do you realize his mistresses, their security detail would actually be taken care of by taxpayers' money? It's crazy, but
I'm not in favor of that. It flies in the face of our family values.
It does, but I mean, we've had presidents pass from all parties who couldn't keep their fly zipped. Was there ever a philandering Whig? I'd actually have to research that. I'm embarrassed I didn't, but
yeah.
I mean, this guy got booted out of the mayor's mansion. How do you get booted out of his own house for his infidelity? But mm-hmm. Okay, I got to play the part here, Peter.
All right.
There's other guys in black starting to look at me funny. I got to keep pace. The guy who hands out the most medallions gets to party with Rudy G. And Michael Savage.
Oh God!
A little bit later. Sorry to mention that name on your show, but I got a group of calves. I'm putting that in quotes. That's a baby elephant. If people didn't get that, coming my way. So I will have to sign off for now, Peter.
All right. That's Tommy Panic on the scene with Rudy Giuliani visiting San Francisco today. And I just wonder, you know, if Rudy does end up in the sack with one of these young Republican lovelies, calves, as Tommy Panic calls them, what's he going to say when the little woman calls? You know, right in the middle. A little interruptus. Millie and Aptos, you're next. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Yes, ma'am.
Bernie went after Willie Brown, Mayor Willie Brown, full throttle.
Yes.
A few years back. And he did it rightfully so. That guy was so crooked, and he was totally... with developers who really did a lot of harm in the south end of town.
Mm-hmm.
Brown almost unseated Bernie in revenge, and somehow Bernie hung on. Do you recall this?
I don't know of any, you know, any effort that Willie Brown made to get Bernie fired. I know that he was angry with him. But I don't know of anything in that vein. I do know that over the years, Bernie has told me at different times that he was having great difficulty renewing his contract with KGO management. They tend to play hardball with him at contract time.
Well, that was because of Brown and others.
Perhaps.
Anyway, I'm convinced this latest is a setup. The feds were looking for something such as this, and they found it.
Well,
and it's that simple.
What I don't know is what the triggering events were. I don't understand why they knew to go to Bernie's house and confiscate his computers where they would find an image on a hard drive. I don't know about that part. But he may have even said on the air, hey, I'm doing some research and I was on the web and I can't believe what kinds of pornography are out there. And
might have been an informant.
Oh, sure. There are a lot of different ways that this could have occurred, and I am not dismissing any potential political angle to this, whether it's Willie Brown or somebody in Washington on behalf of the Republican administration. It's also fair to say Bernie was a former staffer to Barbara Boxer, and he's been critical of her. He's been critical of Feinstein. He's been critical of Pelosi. So it's possible that Democrats did not come to his defense. I think that's craven and cowardly, but we have to factor it in as a possible element here.
Well, possibly Boxer will come through. Thank you.
You bet.
Peter.
Nice to hear from you, Millie. Now to John in Carmel Valley. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, early on Friday, you had on, I think, Helen Solis.
Hilda Solis.
Hilda Solis, yeah. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. She gave a bunch of rationales for why the Democrats had to be cautious about how they voted. And I just found myself not only frustrated, but wondering how did we ever get such a crop of looking over their shoulders and worrying about every move they make types in politics? How would they ever get into politics if they thought like that?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I think it's the last career on earth a person who's going to worry about what might happen. I mean, you can't do anything well in life in any career if you take that tack very often. But in politics, you better not. Not that you shouldn't ever think about what could happen, but I just thought, is she just another of the big crop, the bigger and growing crop? Because I had no idea, and I don't think the voters did at all in 06, that we'd have anything come up like this.
Well,
did you?
No. No, and Hilda Solis is a true progressive. She's got a very strong track record. As when I talked to her on Friday, I referenced that she had been in the state legislature, ending in the Senate. And I think that she was defensive because of the way I framed the question. And by the way, you know, when we set up these interviews, often they're very clear about what they want to talk about. And she wanted to talk about the energy bill and creating green-collar jobs. But I put it in the context that many of us are frustrated that the Democrats haven't delivered on the key issues that we thought were going to be delivered on after they won the majority. And so I think she was being defensive there in trying to explain why the Blue Dogs in particular have really hampered any progress by the Democratic majority. But I agree with your interpretation that she was trying to, in some ways, kind of talk down to us and explain that, you know, with a pat on the head, that we're really trying hard and doing good work and that the criticism is misplaced. But I think we need to keep the heat on. And if true progressives feel the heat, then they're going to pass it along to their more conservative colleagues. John, I got to run to a break. Thanks for your call today. 888-5, Peter B. There's room for another caller or two if you want to talk about the Bernie Ward case or anything else. 888-5, Peter B. The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
All right, let's take a look at that last traffic report of the night, see what's going on. What do we have going on? Well, we got a little problem working right now in Salinas, Highway 68 westbound before Quail Ridge. It's a traffic cone in the lanes. South of Gilroy, southbound 101 before Highway 25, there's a two-car crash. Well, apparently, it's off to the right shoulder. We'd like to take a look at Hollister and McCloskey at Fairview. A car carrier, a big rig, and a car involved in an accident. Everything's off to the right-hand shoulder. Traffic slow and go in the area. CHP is on scene. Traveling in the Capitola area, northbound 1 at Park. Still reports of an overturned pickup truck partially blocking the off-ramp there. Traffic is indeed very slow in the area. CHP is on scene. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you in part by the Organic Wine Company. You eat organic, so wash it down with organic wine. It's tasty and not that expensive. Log on to ecowine.com or call Veronique at 888-ECO-WINE.
Save me from hell, she'd fire in her soul. It was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance. Every soul in the room keeping time with her hands. And we say, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. And the voices rang like the angels sing.
That's from the new Santana LP right here. LP, that's a CD, actually, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And up next, it is Joe. Oh, wait a minute. Joe's next. We'll go to Dan in Arcata. Hello, Dan. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, you know, Peter, I've heard three really controversial people on AM radio at night. And one was Jim Webb in Seattle. He's found dead in his apartment.
Yeah.
The other was Bernie, the other's Mike Malloy, and now Bernie's gone, and both, all three of them have been willing to say there's something fishy about 9/11, and I just wonder how long Mike Malloy is going to last.
Well, I don't believe the 9/11 thing. So
well,
I,
you're not at night, though. You know, you're in the daytime.
Right.
You don't have the same audience. Bernie Ward had a tremendous audience.
True. And, oh, yeah, the coverage of that station. I actually worked there in the late 1970s, and I was on late at night, and it was amazing.
Were you there when Hilly Rose was there?
After that. I was there after Bob Treber and before Ray Taliaferro.
Yeah, I remember Bernie. It seems like the last first time I remember it was about 1987 is when I remember first listening to him, because I had let him know that a friend of mine had told me that, now this was in 1987, he told me this confidentially, he says, if the Catholic Church is lucky, it will cost them $100 million this year in hush money to parents of children who've been molested by priests. But he said if it's an average year, it'll be $500 million. And soon, he says, the Catholic Church will not be able to get underwritten insurance-wise. Now, this was 87. I told Bernie this, and he just shunned me on it. Nah, that's all crazy, you know. But it turned out to be true. And this man I know because he was talking to the right people. But I fear that Bernie was, there's been, I don't think he's got anything to do with this child thing. He's too decent a person, too principled. But they found a way to get him, just like Jim Webb. I don't, you know, they didn't say what happened to Jim Webb. They just found him dead. They call it suicide. Like,
well,
like Gary Webb, they call that suicide. You know, you're shot twice in the back of the head and it's suicide.
Right.
These people.
Now, wait, Dan. Let's deal with facts here, okay?
Right.
Jim Webb was the newspaper reporter from the Mercury News.
That was Gary Webb.
You're right. Thank you. I see I'm getting my webs mixed up.
Yeah. Jim Webb was the
Gary
guy.
Webb was the Mercury News, and Mike Webb was in Seattle.
Right, Mike Webb.
And Mike was found dead in his home, and an investigation, I believe, did produce a suspect.
Oh, it did?
And, yeah, so I don't think that case is completely unsolved.
Well, the point is that he's off the air.
Right.
Right, these people have come out and are.
But it's really important, Dan, to understand that there are a lot of business reasons and corporate politics reasons, and I just don't want you to jump to a conclusion that because a host was taken off the air for whatever reason, that means that there were nefarious means used to silence them. The pattern is irrefutable.
Yeah.
That there are far fewer progressive voices on the air than there were just 10 years ago.
Well, I mean, the real controversy. The ones just seem to disappear. You know, it's just there's a lot of people that, like you, that are, you know, are less controversial, less confrontational. You're more mild about it. But I don't know how Mike Malloy's kept his life, to tell you the truth, from what he says.
Yeah.
And, I know that, you know, I quit listening to Bernie when Mike's, I can get him out of Portland at night, so I listen to Mike Malloy. And So I didn't even know about this Bernie Ward thing until I just heard about it on you today, that I didn't think he was in trouble in any way.
Well, Dan, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Now to Brookings, Oregon, it's Joe. Hi, Joe. Welcome back.
Yeah, well, I would just remind that last caller, we don't need to get off all half-cocked about this like people did about the Randy Rhodes thing.
I agree, and that's the thing I'm trying to put brakes on just in an appropriate way to deal with the fact set that we know and not try to extrapolate and project.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, even though I do find it kind of odd that, you know, Peter Griffin, Bernie Ward are never, you know, at the same place at the same time, I've always found that kind of odd. But
I don't know Peter Griffin. Who's that?
That fat guy on Family Guy.
Oh, okay.
Cartoon. They look exactly alike. Seriously, though, that was a good point someone made earlier about the fact that I think Bernie Ward must have been the first one in the country to break the news about the Catholic Church having a bunch of pervert priests and all that. So that, you know, that would mean that there's some, that there would have to be some kind of personal pathology going on with him that's just so sick and twisted. It would be off the charts for this to be true. So,
well,
my gut feeling is I don't think it's true, but
that's my gut feeling as well. But putting the gut aside, what is important here is to deal with the issues of rights, and our rights are on the line as Bernie fights for his.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking about what's right, I wanted to talk about the Mumia case. These right-wing freaks that are going after all his Hollywood supporters like Mike Farrell and Whoopi Goldberg. And I'll mention it one more time. The most famous and incorruptible cop there's ever been, Frank Serpico, thinks Mumia is innocent. There's been another person that's actually confessed to that murder in Philadelphia. So I just wish these right-wing idiots would shut the hell up, because they don't know what they're talking about anyway.
Okay, Joe.
Thank you for listening.
All right. I just did, and thank you very much for calling. I appreciate that. Again, if you would like to make a contribution, and I encourage you to do so to the extent of your ability, to the Bernie Ward Legal Defense Fund, here is the address. Box 681, El Cerrito, C-E-R-R-I-T-O, El Cerrito, California, 94530. That's the Bernie Ward Legal Defense Fund, P.O. Box 681, El Cerrito, California, 94530. I hope to hear Bernie back on the air real soon.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people, in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Phil Whitney. Dangerous winter weather in the heartland.
A lot of trees coming down from a lot of the water stuck to the trees, caused a lot of branches to fall all over town.
C.B. Rowan lives in Tulsa, where an ice storm brought down trees and power lines. Gil Broyles of Oklahoma Gas and Electric says the outages are of record proportions.
Our account is about 205,000 customers, and of course when you think of that in terms of households, that's to be multiplied by two or three to get to probably a number of about a half million people.
Loss of power shut down the Tulsa airport, and Omar Villafranco of CBS television affiliate KOTV says recovery will take a while.
The runways are fine. There's just no airplanes at Tulsa Airport. The earliest flights are going to be tomorrow, hopefully, and maybe even Wednesday before people are able to get out of here.
In Oklahoma and Missouri, at least 15 deaths are blamed on the weather. For tomorrow, the National Weather Service has posted ice and winter storm warnings for parts of Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and Illinois. It's out of season, but subtropical storm Olga just formed over the Virgin Islands in the Caribbean. Suspicions confirmed. Authorities say they've linked 24-year-old Matthew Murray to both shootings yesterday at religious sites in Colorado.
Based on evidence obtained at Matthew Murray's residence and interviews conducted with his family, detectives gathered additional information to support the belief that he is responsible for the shootings.
Don Wick, police chief in the Denver suburb of Arvada, where Murray allegedly shot and killed two people at a school for missionaries. Later, 65 miles away in Colorado Springs, authorities say Murray murdered two sisters in the parking lot of the New Life Church before being shot dead by a security guard. A friend says Murray had a very, very religious upbringing. A statement from the family asks forgiveness on his behalf and says, "We cannot understand why this has happened." Michael Vick, the Atlanta Falcons star convicted on federal dogfighting charges, learned his sentence today, 23 months in prison. CBS News reporter Pete Combs sampled fan reaction.
There's not a lot of sympathy for Michael Vick here in downtown Atlanta.
I think they put a light on him. He deserves a longer sentence.